Text, distributed by Buena Vista Distribution Company, Inc. An intricate white wall with two pillars on either side has a red curtain in the middle. The curtains are drawn up to reveal a green background with a thunderbolt that strikes. A wall hanging appears, which reads, "Bless our broken home." Text, Walt Disney presents. Water drips from the text board. Another thunderbolt strikes. Movie title, The Parent Trap. Text, based on the book Das Doppelte Lachen by Eric Kastner. Another thunderbolt strikes. Two small cupids fly in. One of them flies over to the other and whispers something. They lift up the wall hanging. A cartoon blonde man and red-haired woman stand under a tree with their arms crossed in a huff. Carved on the tree is, text, Tom loves Mary. They're both angrily tapping their feet. He looks over his shoulder at her, and she looks at him. They both turn away grumpily. On top of the tree, hanging from branches, are two little girls, one blonde and one red-haired. They look down in disgust. The tree snaps into many pieces and the girls fall down. The girls sit on a stump, thinking. Suddenly they look up and then at each other. The two girls stand up, holding hands. The cupid flies out, playing a trumpet. The other cupid flies out, playing a trombone. A new curtain drops with one cupid playing a violin and the other plays an upright bass. As the curtain lifts up, the woman and man are sitting at a table. The woman has curlers in her hair and is impatiently staring at a toaster on the table, while the man buries his face reading a newspaper. She lifts up the toaster as the toast flies out. The man catches it. He holds out his cup, and she grabs the jug of coffee. She pours it over the newspaper, and it spills on him. He jumps out of his seat. The blonde girl draws a rectangle, while the red draws a square. They look at each other in disgust. Suddenly, they've had an idea and they shake hands. A cupid flies out holding flowers while the other one flies out with a camera. The cupid takes a picture. A cupid flies out with a bow and arrow. The other one flies out with a bow and arrow also. They both fall asleep as the credits roll. The curtains lift up. The man and woman are sitting on a couch. The man is reading a newspaper. The woman looks over at him grumpily. The two sit on a park bench, arms crossed beside a tree. The cupid is on a pillar in the back. He shoots an arrow and it hits the man on the head, bouncing off and hitting the woman on her arm. A moon appears as the two look up at it. The red-haired girl plays the violin from the moon, while the blonde girl appears from under the tree, pushing the bench. The man slides towards the woman and they smile at each other. The two fly up into the sky. The cupid swing out on the curtain's rope. They bring down another blind. They put in blinds from the sides. The cupids push out the blinds to reveal two doors with his and hers written on them. The woman walks over to the door that says hers. The man stands back and watches. Once she's walked in, he walks over to the door that says his. The two girls run out and grab the doors and run off. Inside are the man and woman standing in the same room, hanging up their robes. They lean back and bump into each other, shocked. The cupids with violins as the shadows of the man and woman hold hands. The man leans in and the two kiss. The cupids bring down the blinds. They hold each other and flutter about. And one of the cupids kisses the other.
Togetherness. Straighten up their mess with togetherness. Togetherness. The parent trap.
A car drives up a mud path beside a lake. Tall trees flag the lake as boats float on it and horses are galloping at a distance. Women lead groups of children, holding placards that read P to S and L to O. The car comes to a halt beside a van. From the back, a young blonde girl gets out and looks around apprehensively. The driver of the car also gets out and stands in front of the blonde girl.
Oh, dear, you're an R over there with the P to S's. That's a good girl. Now, have we any XYZs here?
Now, here you are, Mr. Kells. Your grandmother said remind you 1-3 times a day. And your insect repellent. And your poetry book.
Thank you, Sims.
Have a good summer, miss.
She nods and then reluctantly turns to walk away. Inside a log cabin, the girls stand in line.
Kendrick, Sharon.
18 Belgrave Square, Boston?
Yes. And my grandmother said to see that my tent was properly ventilated.
Don't worry, McKendrick. You'll be ventilated.
Later, the woman leads Sharon and a group of girls down the muddy path to rows of tents.
Lying on the ground. Always tidy. Latrines over there. Mess hall up the hill. McKendrick, you're in here, Arapahoe. Follow me. Girls, wait here for me.
She walks into the cabin.
Hello, McKendrick. New arrival, girls? Name's McKendrick.
Hi.
Hello.
Girls here will brief you on anything you need to know. Sure you'll be very happy here. See you after lunch.
The woman pats Sharon on the back and leaves.
My name is Betsy. This is Ursula.
How do you do? I'm Sharon McKendrick.
Later, all the girls run towards the big log cabin as the bugle beckons them.
Say, you're in a good tent. Betsy's mother sends her all kinds of candy bars and chocolates every week.
I'm not allowed to eat candy.
Why not?
My grandmother thinks it ruins my teeth.
As Sharon reaches for a milk carton, another short-haired girl also reaches over from the other side. She looks at Sharon, eyes wide. Sharon looks back at her in shock. The two are identical.
No, I'm starved.
Ursula pushes Sharon with her tray. The other girl runs off as well. Walking through the cafeteria, Sharon looks around for the other girl.
The nerve of her, coming here with your face.
What are you gonna do about it?
Do? What did Emma say? Can I do, silly?
I'd bite off her nose. Then she wouldn't look like you.
Who's she? I never saw her before in my life.
An older woman stands up at the podium with the camp counselor sitting on a bench beside her.
I want to say welcome to all our new arrivals. Welcome to Camp Bench, new arrivals.
Sharon turns back and looks at the other girl.
I am your supreme commander here, and my name is Miss Inch.
Ms. Inch fumbles with the papers.
Yes, Miss Inch. I'd like, at this time, to introduce a visitor from the next hilltop over, from the Thunderhead Boys Camp, Chief Eaglewood.
The girls applaud, and Chief Eaglewood gets up and walks over to the podium. He shakes hands with Ms. Inch.
Thank you, Miss Inch, and hello there, out there to all of you. Looks like a crackerjack troop of girls there. Now, why am I here? Well, that's our little surprise. Trooper Stafford, attention! Stand up, boy.
What a dream.
Little surprise for you, young ladies. Saturday night, we're going to have a dance. And we've asked the Thunderhead Boys Camp to come over for the occasion.
Camp Thunderhead accepts your invitation and thanks you.
A word of warning. Watch your demerits. Untidy little girls won't go to the dance. So keep those tents clean, your uniforms spanking fresh, and we'll all be one big happy family.
The short-haired girl makes a face. Sharon, Ursula, and Betsy sit on the dock by the lake, getting their feet wet as they chat. Ursula looks up in disgust. The short-haired girl and her friends are rowing a canoe not too far from them on the lake. They row over to Sharon and her friends.
What are you staring at?
Excuse me, but haven't you noticed? We look like each other. Hey, wait a minute. Turn your head. Let me see that profile. That's who it is. Look at that profile. She's the spitting image of you-know-who? Who? Frankenstein.
Not what?
Ursula kicks the canoe over, tipping them into the water. The girls swim up to the overturned canoe, furious as they cling on to it. As night sets in on Camp Inch, the short-haired girl and her two friends tiptoe quietly through the tents. Their hands are full with things as they quietly make their way to the tent. Peering in, they make sure everyone's asleep. Slowly, they creep into the tent. They stand and look about, and then quietly tiptoe over to the table, placing down a pail and some other small items. The short-haired girl points over to the sleeping girls before walking over to one of the beds. One of them walks over to Betsy, who is fast asleep, and squeezes toothpaste all over her arms. The other girls pull out string, wrapping it around everything. The short-haired girl pours honey onto Sharon's pillow and bed as she sleeps. The next morning, the girls start to make their way out of their cabins and over to the water faucets. Inside her cabin, Sharon sits up on her bed to see the whole room covered in string. Dirt falls down on Ursula.
Monsters, they covered
A pail of water lands on Sharon's head as the three get tangled up in all the string.
Morning, Miss Inch.
Morning, Miss Kernica.
Where would you like to start?
Well, why not start with Tent Arapaho?
Sure you find everything shipshape?
The short-haired girl and her friends laugh in the distance. Miss Inch walks into the tent as the girls desperately try to clean up. Miss Inch and the other camp counselors look around in disgust. They look down and realize they're standing on slush as they try to step out of it. Later, the dance is in full swing in the cafeteria hall. The ceilings are decorated with streamers, and a table of food and drinks stands at the back. All the girls are dressed in beautiful gowns, and the boys look sharp in their blazers. Outside, peering in from behind a wooden pole, Sharon, Ursula, and Betsy watch sadly, hidden by the shadow of the night.
What if we got some ants, and when she comes by the window, we dump them down her dress?
Impractical.
Where are you going to find ants at night, stupid?
Ooh, the three of them. I'm so mad I could just spit.
Back inside, the girls are dancing happily.
Let's get together right away. We'll be having twice the fun, and you can always count on
me. Hey, I got an idea.
Ursula turns and runs out into the darkness, urging the girls to follow. The young boys and girls walk out hand in hand onto the porch. Underneath the porch, Sharon, Ursula, and Betsy are crawling on all fours. The short-haired girl walks over to the end of the porch and leans on the railing.
How do you like camp?
To this one, though. They're so juvenile, they won't let you wear lipstick or perfume. I feel absolutely naked without my lipstick.
Oh. Where are you from?
Monterey, California.
They stand in awkward silence, looking down at their feet.
That's great.
Oh, you love California. At least I do. It's so sort of, I don't know, marvelous, actually.
It sounds great.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's absolute fun living in California. Every year when I get from camp, Dad takes me on a trek into the mountains.
Gee, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Your mother just lets you go up in the mountains like that?
Oh, I don't have a mother. Just Dad and me. He's wonderful.
From below, Sharon cuts up the back of Susan's dress on one side, while Ursula cuts the other side.
We have a ball. Just Daddy and me and Hecky.
The two girls then pull the back of Susan's dress.
A ranch foreman. He tells sensational stories. He used to be a rodeo rider, actually. Oh, they've started the music again.
I guess we oughta, huh?
Mm-hmm. I love dancing. I could just dance all night. Especially with you, Wilfred.
The two walk in shyly, not knowing that the back of Susan's dress is missing, leaving a gaping hole. The three girls under the cafeteria giggle quietly. Hands cover their faces to stifle any sound. Susan and Wilfred make their way onto the dance floor as people start to turn and look. Susan's two friends turn from the food table and are shocked to see their friend dancing without the back piece of her dress. They rush over to tell her. She turns to them and they lean in to whisper when Wilfred also notices. Gasping, Susan runs out with her friends as all the kids start to laugh. She points to the porch.
Serves you right. Stay out of our tent from now on.
Susan charges over to Sharon, fuming.
You vicious little witch!
The two swing slaps at each other. Susan grabs Sharon by the hair, and Sharon grabs Susan by the waist as they start to fight, while Susan's friends try to pull them apart. They push and shove each other, making their way into the dance hall. The two shove each other onto the table, tipping over stacks of records. Mr. Eaglewood rushes over. He tries to pull them apart. The girls pay no heed, and they roll under the food table, tipping it over as the punch bowl and cakes slide off. Ms. Inch and the counselors grab onto the sliding cakes. Ms. Inch holds the cake above her head. As she brings the tray down, it gets stuck on the totem pole behind her. She looks down at the empty tray and back up just as the cake falls off its post, landing smack on her face. The two girls, covered in food and cake, are cowering on the ground, looking up at Ms. Inch guiltily. Later.
Congratulations. In the history of our camp, that was the most infamous, the most revolting, the most disgusting display of hooliganism we have ever had.
Ms. Gunnecker nods.
Brawling like hooligans in front of our guests.
And worst of all, two sisters who should be setting a good example.
We're not sisters. I've never seen her before in my life.
They are. Aren't they?
No, ma'am. Just lookalikes.
An amazing resemblance.
Susan rolls her eyes while Sharon looks away. Ms. Inch gets up and walks around the desk over to them.
I gather that you two girls don't get along together.
The girls look at each other and then turn away quickly.
Well, have you ever heard of Gilbert and Sullivan?
Susan shakes her head from side to side. Ms. Inch turns to look back at Ms. Gunnecker.
They were composers. They wrote a memorable song called Let the Punishment Fit the Crime. Let the punishment fit the crime.
The next day, Susan is carrying her bags and following Ms. Inch.
Sharon McKendrick, we are waiting.
They walk up to Sharon's cabin. Groups of girls run over to them from the cafeteria and the lake, eager to see. Sharon walks out of her cabin, head held down shamefully, carrying lots of luggage. She glares at Susan.
All right, girls, follow me.
Ms. Inch makes her way up the path. The two girls follow. The other campers huddle around, whispering to each other as the girls walk away, quickly chasing after them. Ms. Inch leads Sharon and Susan down the path by the lake as all the campers follow them, marching along and whistling a happy tune. Susan and Sharon turn back to see the girls marching along. They walk along the lake, flagged by tall trees as the sun glares down on them. The girls follow, swaying their arms about in rows of three. Sharon turns and looks back, sadly turning away again. Miss Inch makes her way into the woods, followed by Susan and Sharon. The other campers are not too far behind. Miss Inch waves her stick about, urging the girls to go back, and turns reluctantly.
Girls, that's enough of this nonsense. Go back to your activities. All right, young lady.
Miss Inch waves her stick at Susan and Sharon. She continues down the path, and the two girls follow. She walks over to a lonesome cabin, walking up the wooden stairs. She opens the door. She stands aside. Susan and Sharon make their way up the stairs and into the cabin. Inside, the cabin is sparsely furnished, with a couple of cots lining each wall, with trunks on the ends. Ms. Inch looks about the room, sussing it up, then walks back to the door.
4 weeks left at camp, and you'll spend them all together. Room together, eat together. Play together.
She turns to walk out as Susan grumbles.
Either you'll find a way to live with each other or you'll punish yourselves far better than I ever could. Goodbye, girl.
Ms. Inch closes the door behind her. Susan looks over at Sharon grumpily. Sharon looks away and then turns away exasperated. She puts her suitcases on the cot. Susan sighs and walks over to her cot, dropping her suitcases on it. Later, the cafeteria is abuzz with girls chatting as they eat their dinners. Susan and Sharon sit at a table in the corner, away from the rest of the campers. On their table is a sign that reads, Isolation Table. Later, Ursula, Betsy, and Sharon are having a shower.
Drives her crazy. I completely ignore her.
Give it to her good.
Good. The old Coventry treatment. Ready soon the silence will drive her absolutely out of her mind.
The rains come down hard as evening sets in. Girls in yellow raincoats run into their cabins. A bowl has been placed under a hole in the ceiling and water drips into it as Susan walks about, pinning up cutouts of her favorite celebrities on the wall. She looks over her shoulder. Sharon sits on her cot, writing something in a book. A gust of wind blows in through the open windows as the blinds fly up and all of Susan's pictures get blown away. Sharon runs over. Sharon and Susan quickly tie down the blinds. Sharon looks over at Susan, smiling.
You're welcome.
Susan turns to look down.
Oh, gosh, look at this mess.
She runs over to pick up all the fallen pictures. Sharon also gets down on her knees and begins to help Susan. Susan is shocked.
Well, it didn't do him any good.
Oh, dirty darn, look at this one. Just ruined.
Oh, that's a shame. Who is he? Are you kidding? Ricky Nelson?
Susan holds out the picture for Sharon to look at.
Your boyfriend.
I wish he was.
Do you mean you never heard of him? Where'd he come from?
Outer space?
No. I'm from Boston.
Susan stands up.
Ooh, Boston.
She starts to pin the pictures back up on the wall. Sharon picks up a picture and walks towards her cot.
Where's your home?
California.
Oh, I've seen movies of California. Is it a nice place to live?
Sensational! We got a ranch out in Carmel. I got a picture. You want to see it?
She reaches under her pillow and pulls out a photo album. Walking over to Sharon, she opens it.
There. That's the house. Then the stables go off down there.
How lovely.
Oh, I got my own horse and everything. We got a lake. You know, you can practically fall right out of the front door and go swimming anytime you want.
Susan walks over to the cot close to Sharon's and lays down on it. Sharon turns a page and looks at a picture. She then holds out the album to Susan.
Who's this?
Susan looks over.
That's my dad, isn't he, dreamy?
Sharon places the album back on her lap, looking at it intently.
He's very handsome.
She hugs herself.
Is it cold in here?
I am hot. Want a fig, Newton?
Susan holds out the box. Sharon takes one. Susan smiles at her.
What's your pup like? I mean, is he a friend you could talk to, or one of those busy types?
Well, I don't have a father, actually. Mommy and Daddy separated years ago. She never mentions him, though.
You know, it's scary the way nobody stays together anymore these days. Pretty soon there's going to be more divorces than marriages.
Isn't it the truth?
How old are you?
13.
So am I.
I can't wait till I'm 18 and get my own car and stay out dancing till midnight.
I'll be 14 November 12th. No kidding. That's my birthday, too.
Isn't that peculiar?
Sharon looks puzzled.
November 12th?
Mm-hmm. Susan stands up.
Funny, isn't it? Uh-oh. This one's full.
She walks over to the pot in the corner.
Hey, what do you know? It stopped raining.
She walks over to the door and steps out. She walks down a step and sits down, leaning on the wall behind her. Sharon walks over as well. She hesitates by the door for a moment, before walking down a step and sitting down beside Susan.
What is your mother like?
I can't remember her.
Did she die?
Nope. Busted up with Dad when I was young. But she was fabulous. Absolutely fabulous.
How do you know? There used to be a picture of her on Daddy's desk. But once he caught me looking at it, and he's never been around since.
Susan gets up and walks a few steps. She stands with her hands behind her head, looking at the wilderness.
Hey, you want to come to the commissary and get a popsicle with me? Can you only think about your stomach at a time like this? At a time like what?
Susan brings her hands to her hips, confused. Sharon gets up and walks over to Susan.
Don't you feel it? Don't you know what's happening? Don't you find it peculiar that we both look so much alike and have the same birthday? It's just one of those things, isn't it? Will you come inside a minute? Please?
Turning, she goes up the stairs and walks over to her cot. She lifts up her pillow. Susan walks in, standing by the door. Sharon holds a photo frame in her hand as she slowly turns to face Susan.
Mother always says I'm psychic. You know that I can sense things when something odd is going to happen. I always get goosebumps. Look.
Sharon holds out her arm.
So what?
Sharon looks down at the photo frame in her hands before slowly turning it towards Susan. In the frame is a picture of a lady. Susan's eyes widen as Sharon holds the picture up closer. Susan slowly walks over to Sharon, jaw open, as she stares at the picture.
I don't understand.
Holding the frame, Susan sits down on the cot, looking up at Sharon.
What are you doing with her picture?
Sharon stares at her, open-mouthed.
It's my mother.
Susan looks up at Sharon, shocked. She stares at her in disbelief as Sharon stares back.
But it's my mother, too.
Susan looks back at the picture. Sharon stands beside her, fidgeting with her clothes. Slowly, Sharon edges towards the door. Susan looks down at the picture again.
Lunch. You go. I'm not hungry.
Sharon slowly walks out of the cabin as Susan watches her go. Once she's left, Susan looks back down at the picture in her arms. Outside, Sharon climbs down the stairs gingerly, looking back. Back inside, Susan buries her face in the pillow, sobbing uncontrollably. Sharon quietly walks back upstairs, peering in from the door. She walks over to Susan reluctantly. Sitting down beside her on the bed, she puts a hand on Susan's shoulder. Susan looks up at her, shocked. She slowly sits up as Sharon draws her hand back. Susan looks at Sharon shyly. Sharon smiles at Susan. The two reach out, pulling each other into a tight hug. They slowly pull apart, looking down at their knees coyly.
I didn't know what to say. I know. I didn't either. Golly. Sisters.
Later, Sharon scoops up ice cream from a tub, shoving the spoonful in her mouth and eating it. She frowns, thinking. Susan is eating a popsicle, sitting on the floor beside Sharon, who looks down at her from the cot.
You know what probably happened? They must have quarreled and parted and just sort of bisected us, each taking one of us. Why do you suppose they separated? I don't know. I can't imagine anyone not loving Mother. She's absolutely divine. Well, what about Dad? He's a sensational person. I mean, his friend and all. The thing is that neither of them got married again. You see what that means? Not really. Secretly, in their innermost hearts, they must still be in love with each other. Then why have they stayed separated all these years? Because that's how true love creates its beautiful agony. All splendid lovers have just dreadful times. Peleus and Melisande, Daphnis and Chloe. History's just jammed with stories of lovers, parted by some silly thing.
Susan looks up at Sharon, wide-eyed.
Uh-oh. Oh.
Susan stands up hurriedly, hitting her head with her palm.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, boy. Oh, my gosh. Oh. What's the matter? Do you want to meet Father? And I'm just dying to know Mother. Well, what if... Oh, my gosh! She's simply so scary that we might be able to pull it off. Pull what off?
Susan rushes over to Sharon, kneeling down in front of her.
Switch places!
Switch?
We could do it. We're twins, aren't we? Oh, I want to know, Mother. Look, now I'm getting goosebumps.
Susan stands up, looking at her arm.
Me too. You know something? There's more to it than just switching places. I believe fate brought us together. How so? If we switched, sooner or later they'd have to unswitch us. Mother would have to bring me to California to unmix us. And they'd have to meet again, face to face.
The two look away as they think.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
Exactly.
Let's get to work.
Later, Sharon sits on a chair with a sheet around her shoulders as Susan snips off her hair. Sharon cringes, eyes closed tight as Susan grabs large tufts of her hair and cuts them off. Finally, all neatly trimmed, Sharon sits still as Susan combs and styles her hair exactly like her own. Sharon bites her lip in anticipation, excited at her reflection.
It's amazing.
Later, the girls rummage through Sharon's clothes.
Now, I think you should wear this one when you go to meet Dad. Oh, this is gorgeous. Oh, I'm going to wear this one when I go to Boston. Oh, I adore it. Now, Susan, will you pay attention? Now, the music room and the library are on the first floor. Now, your room is the second door on the second floor on the left, all right?
Now, the horse's name is Shusley, and the dog is Andromeda. Verbena collects the dirty laundry every Monday. Sharon, will you pay attention? Now, except for the dirty socks, those are Thursday. My favorite food is chili beans. Well, you gotta chew gum, because I always choose gum. Fridays, you must somehow oil your razor flat. Talk fast, you know, because everybody talks fast.
Later.
But I never bite my nails. Sharon, you gotta. I always chew mine. Anyhow, Dad'll know. Go on, bite him.
Frowning, she takes a deep breath before chewing on her nails. Later.
Can't, shan't, aunt. No, no. Can't, shan't, aunt. Can't, shan't, aunt. Oh, I can't wait till camp is over. Can't wait. Okay, I can't wait.
Later, the last day of camp has all the girls huddled up in goodbye hugs, waving at their friends as cars pull up. One girl holds a skunk in a cage.
Daddy, you're not going to take it home, and that's it.
Oh, honey.
He's not going to take it home.
You Why do you make me spend so much time to get them all, baby?
Susan dressed in Sharon's clothes and Sharon dressed in Susan's stand in front of each other.
Got to be done methodically. Remember the key? Recollection and memory. Get her talking about how she and Daddy first met and their first date. Find out about that first date.
Sharon!
That's you now. Oh, yes, coming. Now look, the most important thing. You must bring Mother to California. Boston is no place to rekindle a romance.
Sharon!
Sharon!
girls. Goodbye. Sheriff McKendrick, your chauffeur's waiting for you, dear. Now,
Susan gives her sister a goodbye kiss and runs to Miss Inch with her luggage.
It was harsh, I know, putting you two girls together, but you've survived it, and I hope you both learned something from the experience.
Oh, boy, you'll be surprised, Miss Inch.
Oh, yes. Well, goodbye, Sharon. See you next summer.
Goodbye, Miss Inch. Oh, I can't tell you how very much I've enjoyed my stay. I shan't tell my aunt about the aunts, nor the debutantes, shall I? Bye.
Sharon hurriedly runs off to her chauffeur, leaving a confused Miss Inch behind.
What did you do to your hair?
Oh, I cut it. It was too hot long.
You wait till your grandmother sees what you've done.
Sharon watches gleefully, holding her fingers and arms crossed. She mouths goodbye to Susan. Susan sticks her head out the window, crossing her fingers and arms as well, and waves goodbye as the car drives off. Susan sits in the back seat with a notepad, her eyes closed as she recollects her instructions.
Mess, Bettina. Upstairs, third door to the left. Oh, what's her name?
The car pulls up in front of a brownstone house. Susan looks over to the side of the house they dropped in front of, packing her book away, grabbing her bags. The chauffeur opens her door, and she steps out, not taking her eyes off the house.
Well, here goes nothing.
The chauffeur watches her walk away, confused. Susan opens the front door, looking about carefully, as she bites her lower lip. Standing at the bottom of the stair, she looks at the room in front of her as her grandmother instructs the house help.
Cloakroom tickets for the ladies' wraps as well. Oh, Rosa, I want all the gilt chairs in the music room, and do see that they're well dusted.
Mrs. McKendrick, you asked me to remind you.
Oh, yes, and do see that the maids keep absolutely quiet during the music. And if they must empty the ashtrays, tell them to do it without clinking.
As her grandmother walks off with the butler, the middle-aged woman she was talking to walks towards Susan, looking up from her notebook to see her standing at the stairs.
Well, you're home from camp, are you?
Hello, Miss Luckness.
Did you bring home all your underwear and personal things?
Yes, it's in my luggage. James has it.
Probably full of germs. What have you done to your hair?
Do you like it?
Wait till your grandmother sees what you've done.
Susan watches Miss Lochness walk away.
Who's that I hear out there? Is that my little girl? That tall, gangly thing?
Hi, Grandfather.
Hello, sweetheart. Oh, my.
She hugs him.
Oh, well, let me look at you. Have you had... Well, what's the matter, dear?
I'm just happy to see you.
Oh, and I'm happy to see you, too.
She sniffs his coat.
I tell you, Grandpa missed you around here, you know. There was an awful... Wait a minute. What are you doing?
Making a memory.
Making a memory?
Mm-hmm. All my life, years from now, when I'm quite grown up, I'll remember my grandfather and how he always smelled of...
She takes another whiff.
Tobacco and peppermint.
Smelled of tobacco and peppermint. Well, I'll tell you, I use the peppermint for my indigestion and the tobacco...
He looks around.
...to make your grandmother mad.
They hug again, laughing.
Sharon! Welcome home, darling.
Awestruck, Susan looks up at her mother running down the stairs. Susan slowly makes her way up the stairs, still awestruck.
Oh, darling, it's so good to have you home. Let me take a look at you. What earth have you done to your hair?
Cut it.
Well, that's certainly obvious.
I thought there was something different.
Well, what's done is done. At least it'll grow again. What's the matter, Sharon? Are those tears I see?
She hugs her mother tight again.
I can't help it, Mother. If only you knew.
Knew what?
Why, Sharon, when did you get that?
She just arrived. Doesn't she look wonderful?
Yeah. My dear child, what have you done to your hair?
She cut it.
Well, I had to because when it just...
If my opinion means anything in this house, which I doubt, I like it short the way it is.
Charles, stop burbling.
I haven't burbled in years and...
Go down to your office and read your newspaper.
Grandfather nods and smiles smugly.
See you at dinner.
He walks off.
Bye.
Oh, now, really, Mother, it doesn't look so bad.
So hoydenish. Are you a boy or a girl? Make up your mind. What's that?
Oh, it's a present I brought for you. We made it. I mean, I made it, especially for you. Oh,
thank you, dear. What is it?
It's a birdcage made out of popsicle sticks.
Oh, come on upstairs with me while I finish getting dressed.
See you later.
As her mother drags Susan up the stairs, grandmother watches, laughing happily. She then looks down at the birdcage in disgust, shaking her head.
Did you make some nice friends at camp?
Oh, yes. One girl in particular.
Who is she?
Oh, just a girl.
From Boston?
No, just a girl from someplace.
Susan looks at her mother intently.
My goodness, you're beautiful.
Well, what's the matter? You're staring at me as if you'd never seen me before.
Oh, I don't know. I'm just happy you're here and that you're you.
Well, I'm happy that you're here and you're you. Now be a good girl. Fasten me up.
Susan walks over to the chair, standing behind her mother.
Do you miss me?
Mm-hmm. Do you miss me?
You'll never know.
Oh, Margaret, don't forget the Red Cross meeting at 2:30. I'll see you at the Somerset Club after my garden club meeting. Oh, yes. Stand up, child. Don't slouch. I hope you haven't picked up bad habits of that camp of yours. Keep your shoulders straight. See you at the Somerset, Margaret.
Yes, Mother.
Grandmother walks in a bustle.
What's the frown for?
I just got back, and you've got all those meetings and things. Well, I thought we could spend the day together and talk.
Oh, we have the whole weekend to talk, and you know very well that I cannot cancel the rent.
As grandmother walks out, mother turns to Susan. Susan watches as mother walks away. She follows her into the bedroom. Mother puts her purse down on the drawer, opening a jewelry box on it. Susan walks over to the bedpost, leaning on it. She looks around sheepishly.
Well, what I have to say can wait.
Yes, dear?
I just wanted to have a little woman-to-woman talk with you about Stafford.
Stafford? Who's Stafford?
Oh, this boy I met at camp. I just wanted your advice on something.
Yes, on what?
Well, I wanted you to tell me how long you waited before you got married.
Susan quickly runs out of the room as Mother turns in shock. Mother hurriedly follows Susan.
Sharon?
Mother doesn't find her on the landing and goes looking for her. She walks down the stairs as Miss Lochness walks over.
Oh, Lochness.
Yes, Miss Margaret.
Please tell my mother that I won't be able to meet her and cancel all of my appointments for today.
Cancel?
Yes, something very important has come up.
Yes, Miss Margaret.
Later, Susan and Mother are at a park by the pond. A picnic is spread out in front of them.
Sharon, what I'm trying to say is that the decision to marry is something best considered after you've lived a little bit longer.
Mother, you're perfectly right. Stafford was much too juvenile for me.
Well, thank goodness for that.
To be perfectly frank with you, the old zing just wasn't there.
Zing?
Yes, you know. The charge that shoots up your spine when you meet the one man you want to marry. Like when you met Daddy.
Mother looks over at Susan.
What was Daddy like?
Mother looks down, blushing.
Well, I don't know how we got around to him.
Is it terribly painful for you to talk about Daddy?
No. Why should it be?
I don't know. Well, I thought maybe you'd been in love with somebody once. Well, the recollection and memory might be bitterly painful.
Oh, Sharon, that was many, many years ago. Don't dramatize it.
Where did he take you on your very first date?
He took me to dinner. It was an Italian restaurant, one of those down in those old basements in New York. It was called Martinelli's.
Martinelli's?
Yes.
Later, mother and daughter walk along the pond holding hands.
You said there was music. Uh-huh. What song did they play?
Song?
Oh, there must have been a song. You know, the old they're playing our song type of thing.
Oh, well, if there was, I wouldn't remember it. It was much too long ago.
Oh.
Mother is lost in thought as they walk down the path. Susan looks over, biting her lip.
La-dee-dum-ba-dee. La-dee-dum-ba-dee. La-dee-la-dee-dum. La-dum. Oh, time may tatter our first sweet thrill. It doesn't matter. It never will. La-dee-dum, la-dee, la-dee-dum, la-dum, la-dee, la-dee-dum, la-dum.
The two swing their hands and walk on the grass happily as a soft wind blows, rustling up the leaves on the trees. Later, a plane comes to a halt on the runway and the spinning propellers slowly stop. Sharon gets down from the plane, suitcase and bags in tow, as she looks around, squinting into the sun. She walks over to the barricades behind which are people waiting for the passengers. Looking around, she tries to spot a familiar face as she bites her lip. As people shove her out of the way, as they greet their loved ones, Sharon looks around, confused and lost.
Susie.
She smiles. Her father rushes towards her, a big grin on his face.
Hi, Dad.
He hugs her.
Well, how's the camp?
Fine.
Broken bones or anything?
Mm-mm.
No. Come on, let's get the bags.
He wraps his arm around her shoulder as he leads her away. They walk through the airport, and she hands him a piece of paper.
Here's my baggage check.
Oh, boy, are you still biting your nails?
Oh, you noticed. She told me that you...
What?
Nothing.
Sharon puts her tickets in her bag, looking away quickly.
Well, I certainly did enjoy all those nice, long, newsy letters. Yes, sir.
Oh, that. Well, we meant to write, but we just got so tied up with plans and things, you know, that... Well, we...
Who's we?
Us. I mean, I. Oh, us, yes. There was a very nice girl there. We became quite good friends. Oh, that's mine. That's mine.
She points to her suitcase. Father grabs her suitcases, and the two walk off. Later, the two make their way up the hilly roads of sunny California in Father's car. Sharon looks around, excited.
Glad to be home, huh?
It's wonderful.
She grins at her father.
Were you lonely while I was gone?
Oh, I cried myself to sleep every night about the first week after
that. Seriously.
Well, seriously, I got to play golf every day. I play poker at night, and I wish I could find one of these camps where they keep you all winter, too.
Ho, ho.
Ho, ho. Good to have you home, Goofy.
Her father playfully strokes her cheeks.
Susie, there's been a lot of things happening since you left, and I think we ought to have a little quiet talk sometime.
Oh, sure. I have some things I want to talk over with you, too.
Oh, you have, huh?
Mm-hmm, but not now.
Okay.
Now I just want to think about getting home and being with my father.
She looks over at her father.
My very own father.
Father.
He looks over at her and she smiles.
Father.
She looks away, sheepishly. Later, the car pulls up into the driveway of a beautiful ranch, with mountains in the distance, and vast open fields scattered with trees and a small pond.
Oh, Daddy, it's beautiful.
Well, it's just about the same. You didn't think it was going to change, did you? Becky!
No!
Look.
Ah, Susu! What do you got there with you, Mitch?
Hi,
darling.
Hecky runs over to Susan and gives her a kiss on the cheek.
What'd you have to bring this kid back for? I thought we got rid of her.
Oh, she was hanging around the airport. I thought I might as well get her out of there.
How was camp?
Oh, swell.
Oh, for heaven's sake, it's about time. We've been waiting for you all day.
Hi, Ravina.
Never mind that hi, Toby. Just give me a hug. Oh, hello, honey. Let me get a look at you. You know, there's a change in you.
Just the same as I always was.
No? No, you're not. I'm not quite sure what it is.
Hi, Andromeda. Stop that! Andromeda, what's wrong with you? You crazy dog. It's Susan, you silly.
Andromeda runs away.
It's almost as if your own dog didn't know you.
Funny, isn't it? Dogs are funny things. Well, I guess I'll go up to my room and put some of those...
Sharon walks off into the house, carrying her bags as Verbena walks over to the car to get suitcases. Inside, Sharon looks about the living room, walking gingerly over to the doors to the open atrium and looking out. She turns around and walks back into the room, mouth wide open and awestruck.
Come on, we'll get you unpacked while you tell me about camp.
Coming.
Verbena walks up the stairs carrying the suitcases, and Sharon runs after her with her bags.
Come on down when you get through, honey. There's somebody wants you to meet.
Yeah, all right. Then we'll be down in a minute.
Hello, darling. Oh, Mitch, I was wondering when you'd get back.
I was beginning to get so bored.
She watches as her father puts his arm around a blonde woman and leads her into the house. Sharon frowns. She quickly turns in a huff, walking away. Reaching the landing, she looks about and then walks into her room. Verbena is folding clothes by the bed.
Good to be home again?
Sure is. Verbena, there's a woman downstairs.
Mm-hmm. There is indeed.
Sharon rushes over to her.
Well, who is she? What is she doing here?
I'm not saying a word. I mind my own business. Except if he wants to make a ninny of himself, that's his affair. I don't say a word.
Well, how did she get here?
It's none of my never mind. I don't say...
Waving her arms around, Verbena walks off into the bathroom, leaving Sharon grumpily sighing behind.
Except a man like your father with a grown daughter going on 14. He's not what you'd call one of those charm fellows with a big teethy grin and a lot of artistic, clever talks. What is a young girl like her seeing him?
I don't know.
I'll give you a million reasons, and he's got them right in the bank. Oh, it was always thus.
What was always thus?
I'm not saying a word. Not one to talk about anybody behind their back.
Verbena walks towards the door, stops and turns to look at Sharon.
And she's good. She's awful good. Those cool blue eyes looking right through you. Calm, that one. Go riding together, swimming together, out to dinner every night. But it's none of my business, understand? So that's why I'm not saying a word. Not one single word. Besides, I don't think you ought to...
Sharon smiles as she watches Verbena walk away in a huff, and then bites her lip as she looks around, pondering. Later, dressed in her swimsuit, Sharon walks down the backyard stairs towards the pool. Her father and the blonde woman are sitting by the pool.
Hi, Susie. We were just talking about you. This is Miss Robinson.
How do you do?
Hello, darling. I've been looking forward to meeting you for just weeks now. Why, from the way your father talked, I expected a little girl, but you're practically a woman.
I'm nearly 14.
Say, I think I'll go make a couple of martinis. You want one?
Oh, I'd love one.
How about you, honey? You want root beer, ginger ale, or something?
Can I have a ginger ale?
Sure. You go on and get acquainted now. I'll be just a minute.
He sprints over to the house.
Your father tells me you're away at camp, dear. Was it fun?
Yes, it was lovely, thank you.
You know, ever since I met your father, it's been Susan this and Susan that. You're obviously very good friends, and I think that's just wonderful. I can tell you something else, too, if you can keep a secret.
From whom?
From your father.
Oh, then you better not tell me. Daddy and I don't keep secrets from one another. We tell each other everything.
Sharon grabs a float and climbs down the metal steps.
It wasn't that kind of a secret. I just wanted to confide in you that I find him a very special, wonderful kind of person.
Well, just between us, he's not too brilliant or clever with what he says. You know, like the charm fellows we all adore so.
We were riding the other day. Your father let me ride Shotsley. I understand she's your horse. I hope you don't mind my riding her.
Oh, no. Shotsley and I are used to strange women riding her.
What? Sharon grins at Ms. Robinson.
Oh, you know Daddy. He's always playing the field.
No, I didn't know.
Oh, yes. Every week, mostly, has some different dame up here. One week, I'll never forget, he had 5 different women up here.
You don't say.
Of course, it's none of my business if he wants to make a ninny of himself with all those women. That's why I'm not saying a word. Not one single word.
She splashes about in the water just as her father walks over.
There you are. Now, did you two get to know each other?
Yes. We had a lovely little talk.
She smiles at Sharon, who flashes her pearly whites back and spins off in the water. At night, the ringing phone wakes Susan up, and she hurriedly pushes her sheets off groggily, wiping her eyes. She runs out of her room in her nightgown. Tiptoeing into the study, she turns the table light on and looks at the clock. It reads 3 a.m. She walks over to the phone and sits down by the desk, palm on her chin as she waits, while absently scratching the table.
Hello?
Miss Susan Evers?
Yes, this is her.
Go ahead, please. everything.
Oh, Mother is the absolute living end. She's gorgeous, just breathtaking. I got to talk to you about their first date today. Italian dinner, drippy candles.
Check the tablecloth.
Susie, will you listen? Oh, I got this song. It goes like this. For now, for all, I've got something to tell you. La, 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 la.
Da, Susan!
Da. What? We're in trouble. You'll have to bring Mother out here immediately.
No! Holy smokes, I just had one day with her. I hardly got to know her at all.
Susan, it's an emergency. There's a woman out here.
Huh?
Her name's Vicky, and she's beautiful.
Oh, is that all? Don't be silly. Dad'll never get serious.
But he's serious about this one. He's trying to get Vicky and me to be friends. She's dangerous.
Well, bust it up, for heaven's sakes. Follow him wherever he goes and submarine her.
You've got to tell Mother and come out here to help.
I want some more time with her. You've had her for 13 years and I just got Susan. Here. I won't. Do the best you can for a couple of days and stay on Daddy's tail, that's all.
Susan, please.
I won't give up Mother this soon and that's final. Goodbye.
Susan slams Susan. The phone down. Sharon hangs up as well as she lies in bed. She rests her face on her palms, very worried. Sharon and her father are on the golf course the next day.
I'm glad you came along today, honey, because there's something I want to talk to you about. It's kind of important.
Oh, what is it?
Well, you know the girl that you met at the house, Vicky?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I thought that we ought to be alone a little while so we could talk.
Well, I want to talk to you about something too, Dad.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
All those weeks at camp, I've been wondering about my mother.
What? What do you want to start wondering about something like that for?
Well, it's a perfectly natural thing for a girl to do. Where is she?
Well, I don't know where she is. How should I know? Last thing I heard, she went to Spain, married some drunk.
Daddy, that's not true. Now stop it.
All right, I lost track of her. You wouldn't like her anyway, honey. She was these big, daring eyes and red, frizzy hair. And besides, she was fat. Really fat.
Then why did you fall in love with her?
Well, you know, you lose your head sometimes. Besides, wait just a minute.
Her father walks away from her.
Hey, Fletcher! Play on through, I'll pick you up at the bar.
He puts his arm around her, and they walk.
Sit down.
They sit under a tree.
No, honey, you don't want to start thinking about your mother all of a sudden. There's no need for that. You can always come talk to me about anything. You always have.
Well, it's not the same. Well, father and daughter is okay. But when a girl gets to a certain age, that's when she really misses a mother.
He looks at her, confused.
Why? I mean, oh, you mean to talk about certain things?
Yeah.
That?
He looks down, fidgeting.
I guess we never have just sat down and talked about that, have we? Well, this is kind of odd place, but I guess it's as good as any. Well, we might as well get it over with. How much do you know now already?
About what?
About what you were just talking about.
Oh, nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Nothing?
Well, you never brought up the subject, and I wondered why.
Well, honey, all right, we ought to get straight on one thing first. That's little boys. Oh, see, I know how they are because being a man, I used to be a little boy once, so I know.
I don't know whether...
Take my word for it, because I used to be a little boy one time, and I know about it.
Oh, Daddy, you're too funny for words.
You mean funny?
Well, I've known about all that for simply years.
What the heck were you just talking about then?
Well, what were you talking about?
Well,
he looks around uncomfortably.
I think I better go and put out.
Father gets up and walks off as Sharon watches and then slowly gets up herself.
There's a little beast now.
Miss Robinson sits at a table with an older woman as a waiter places plates of food in front of them.
Why, she's nothing but a child.
She's a conniving, vicious little two-faced brat.
Just smile, pet. Think of California and that wonderful community property law. And just smile.
Sharon and her father walk
Hi.
Over.
Hello, Mitch. Hello. Darling.
Hi, Edna.
Who is this ecstatic, bright-eyed child? Oh, Mitch, this couldn't
sure,
be.
Sure, that's Susie. Honey, this is Vicky's mother, Mrs. Robinson.
How do you do?
This angelic girl? This is the one you call Peanut Face?
Oh, Daddy, really?
Now you come right over here to your Auntie Edna, and you and I are going to get to know one another.
Sharon walks over to her hesitantly.
Come on, I want to hear all about you. Down you go.
You just tell me. Did you tell her?
Well, I started to, and I don't know what happened.
Oh, Mitch, for...
All right, just let me do it my own way, all right?
Now it's all settled. Susan and I have decided we're all going to have a jolly lunch right here.
Oh, Edna, I'm sorry. I don't think we can today. See, I promised to spend a whole day with Susie, and we've got some stuff planned, you know?
Oh, I'm terribly sorry.
Oh, that's all right. Another time, dear. You're an adorable thing.
Come on, Susie, we'll get the horses. We're going to take a ride down the beach.
Have fun! Bye,
Father Daddy. And Sharon walk off as the two women wave to them.
First change I make in that household, off she goes to a boarding school in Switzerland.
Later, Father gallops down the shore on his horse as Sharon follows close behind, the tides coming in as misty mountains glow in the distance. Father looks back at Sharon before galloping off. She follows close behind. Soon, they make their way up a hill, slowing down with the ocean far below in the distance. They trot along slowly on the hill. Once back at the ranch, they trot to a halt, and Sharon gets off her horse as Father rides up close.
Honey, listen, I've been meaning to ask you, what do you think of Vicky, huh?
In what respect?
Well, just an ordinary question.
No, it's not. You asked me what did I think of Vicky. Well, what did I think of Vicky as what? I mean, if you asked me what did I think of her as a fashion model or a famous aviatrix or something, then maybe I expressed some sort of opinion. But just to ask...
All right, what do you think of Vicky as a person?
Well, Teddy, I really couldn't say. She's a perfect stranger to me. Face her back to the house.
Sharon runs off.
Susie! Hey, I'm not through talking to you!
He turns and grumpily rides off. Riding over to the house, he jumps off the horse and pulls it by the reins as a car drives in. Father walks around the car as Ms. Robinson gets out of the car. He hugs her.
Hello, sweetie.
Meanwhile, Sharon walks into the atrium and sighs as she sits beside the well.
He just can't. Oh, it makes me so mad.
Verbena watches as Sharon grumbles.
His age, all that work and that plans.
She gingerly walks over to Sharon. Verbena sits beside her. She fidgets with the tea towel in her hand as Sharon draws patterns absently on the ground.
You used to confide in me. Anything you want to talk over with me?
No.
You wouldn't like to tell me why Andromeda never comes near you? Or why suddenly your appetites change?
Dear Verbena, you are a mystic.
Mystic? I'm no mystic.
Well, asking me all these crazy questions. Gee, I don't know what you're getting at.
Sharon quickly walks away towards the house. Verbena stands up and walks over to her.
You know what I'm talking about. There's something very strange about you. Are you sure there isn't anything you want to tell me?
What do you want me to tell you?
I don't know. Almost as if you were... Oh, that's impossible.
Verbena starts to walk away.
It's as if I were who, Verbena?
Oh, forget it, honey. Never mind.
You mean Sharon?
Verbena stops in her tracks and turns to look at Sharon. She rushes over to her. Verbena peers at Sharon's face closely, frowning.
Where did you hear about her?
Sharon looks up at her.
Verbena.
Sharon throws herself into Verbena's arms, hugging her close.
I've got to tell someone, but you got to swear never to tell Daddy. Promise?
Meanwhile, Father and Ms. Robinson walk into the house.
I'm going to talk to my own daughter. She's only 14 years old. She's not exactly insensitive.
Ms. Robinson goes up the stairs while Father walks out back.
Susan?
He walks out onto the atrium.
Hi, Dad. Just getting back?
Just a minute. I want to talk to you.
You didn't know what a good thing you had when you had it.
Father looks around, confused. He chases after Susan as she scurries off. Susan stops in her tracks and sits down at the piano.
Why'd you go running off like that? I told you I wanted to talk to you about something.
I'm listening.
Sharon looks up at her father, smiling.
Get comfortable.
I am comfortable. What do you want?
Well, first of all, honey, about me. Now, all you probably think of me as being just your father, and to you, I probably seem ancient and old.
Not ancient, Daddy.
Well, certainly not. I'm in my best years.
Okay. Don't get nervous.
Well, I'm not nervous. Now, I see. What seems old to you now isn't really old when you get old. I mean, when you get older. That is, when you get to be my age, it won't seem old to you at all. And then you'll probably, Hey, where'd you learn how to play the piano?
Oh, they, taught us at camp.
Gee, that's awfully good. 5 weeks. Could you stop now for just a minute, please?
Yeah, sure.
Pay attention.
He sits down beside her.
See, I've been wanting to have this little talk with you about what would you think about our making Vicky part of our family?
Part of the family?
Uh-huh.
Well, I think that's a wonderful idea.
You too?
Well, I most certainly do. I've always wanted to have a sister.
He looks away, agitated.
No, honey, see, you're missing the whole point.
And how sweet of you to want to adopt Vicky.
No, baby, I don't want to adopt her. I want to marry her.
Marry her? Mm-hmm. Oh! Dad! You've just got to be kidding!
She walks into the living room. He gets up to follow.
You can't marry her! She's just a child!
She's not a child, she's a woman. Will you please stop referring to her as a child?
It's all relative, Dad. Don't you see? Compared to her, you're an old man.
I am not an old man.
You are, too! It's absolutely revolting!
Revolting.
It's the most revolting thing I ever heard of!
I'm not even going to discuss it with you if you don't stop shouting.
But, Dad, you just
said... Just stop it.
As Father grabs the cushion from Sharon, she looks up at him in shock.
All right. I'm not screaming. I will talk about this perfectly calmly and rationally. You can't get married! You ruined everything!
She slams the cushion on the couch, walking off.
What are you talking about?
Miss Robinson walks down the stairs. He walks over to her.
I don't know what's the matter with her. I try to talk to her and she gets hysterical. Not even making any sense now.
Let me speak to her for a minute, darling. Women understand these things better. Make yourself scarce.
Miss Robinson smiles as she walks over to Sharon and Father walks away. Sharon sits on the coffee table, exasperated, as Miss Robinson comes up to her.
Hello, darling.
He's making an absolute ninny of himself.
Oh, it came as quite a shock to you the way he told you, didn't it? Men put things so badly. Can't you and I discuss this calmly and rationally together like grown-up women? Oh, I'm sure we can. You're not afraid to come over here and talk to me, are you?
I'm not afraid to talk to anybody.
Sharon gets up and walks around the table over to the couch, sitting down facing Miss Robinson.
You're a big girl now, Susan. You're old enough to understand that wonderful, delicate mystery that happens sometimes between a man and a woman.
I know what wonderful, delicate mystery Daddy sees in you. And I can't say I blame him there either. You're very nicely put together.
Miss Robinson looks at her apprehensively. Sharon smiles at her.
Your father underestimates you, I think.
I'm sure you won't, will you, Vicky?
Susan, dear, you've had him to yourself all this time, and I can understand that suddenly to have another woman around, well, it's a tremendous intrusion. But all my life, it seemed, I've hoped and waited for someone like him. Someone gentle and mature and rough-edged but quick to laugh. Someone understanding and wise. All the things that I've come to love and cherish in him.
Well, that's very refreshing.
Why, dear?
Most girls just run after Daddy because he's so wealthy.
Miss Robinson looks taken aback. Sharon smirks proudly.
Are you inferring that I'd marry your father for his money?
If the shoe fits, wear it.
Miss Robinson rolls her eyes at her and stands up.
Look, pet,
I've tried to be friendly, but I'm going to marry your father, so you get used to the idea.
You want a bet?
Oh, honey, don't you play with the big girls. You'll be in way over your head.
She turns and walks away in a huff as Sharon watches, fuming. Later, Sharon runs into her room, crawling on her bed to grab the phone on her side table. Lying on her tummy, she picks up the handle, dialing hurriedly.
Operator.
Give me Western Union.
Later, Susan and her grandfather are playing chess in the study. Grandmother and mother stand by the maid.
Sharon, child of her age, getting a telegram.
Well, don't stand there, daughter. Let her read it. It belongs to her.
But who could possibly be sending her a telegram?
Mother picks up the telegram from the tray. She walks over to Susan and hands her the telegram. Susan takes it reluctantly, looking around. Mother, grandfather, and grandmother look at her eagerly. Susan opens the telegram and unfolds the piece of paper. It reads, Alexander Graham, 3 a.m., important. Susan looks up at the three, shrugging. Mother holds out her hand, asking for the telegram. Susan hands it over.
Alexander Graham, 3 a.m., California. Who could she possibly know in California?
Bertha Waterbury. This girl I met at camp. Sensational girl.
That's rather cryptic message. What does it mean?
Mother hands the telegram back.
Well, she's crazy about this boy, Alexander. And he took her on a very important date till 3 a.m.
Never heard of such a thing.
At night, Susan sits at the study desk in her nightgown, impatiently staring at the phone. Outside the study on the foyer, Grandfather walks to the stairs in his nightrobe.
Hello?
Miss Susan Evers?
Yes, speaking.
Go ahead, please.
It's me again. I know. Boy, did I have a time it's been at your telegram, cuckoo pig. Grandmother went a 5-minute lecture on raising children.
Grandfather picks up the phone in the foyer. Quietly.
What you want to do? You've got to believe me. It's an emergency. I'm in just horrible trouble out here.
Now, don't dramatize it.
I'm not stupid. This time it's serious.
It's the worst thing that could happen. You mean it's gone that far?
And at a time like this, I think Mother ought to be here. Okay. Tomorrow morning, I'll break the bomb. See you soon. How's Mother?
Fine.
Kiss her for me and Grandpa. Okay, bye.
Susan hangs up, getting up from the chair. Grandfather hangs up outside the foyer, looking puzzled. Susan turns off the light in the study and tiptoes out, closing the door behind her. She stops as she sees Grandfather waiting.
Oh! Hi, Grandpa.
Hi, Susan.
Susan?
Sit down. I think you and I ought to have a little chat, don't you?
Susan fidgets with her nightgown as she giggles nervously. The next morning at the breakfast table.
Oh, well, we got the Picasso exhibition at 4 o'clock, Margaret. We don't want to miss that. Are you coming, Charles?
Oh, no, thank you.
Then we should get out in time for Mrs. Saunders' tea. Oh, Caroline's daughter's coming.
Oh, really?
Oh, now, Sharon, you've got your dancing lesson at 10:30. Then you can go straight on to the musical appreciation at the Leonardo Hall. Sames could drive her in your car, Charles?
Yes.
Now, at 3 o'clock...
I don't think I'll be able to do any of those today.
What did you say?
Sharon, you interrupted your grandmother.
Well, I have something important to tell you.
Grandfather nods encouragingly.
Mother, I think what you and Daddy did to us children is lousy. In fact, I think it stinks.
Sharon.
And let's get this straight. I'm not Sharon, I'm Susan. Sharon, your Sharon, is out in California with Daddy.
But it's impossible.
You can't be Susan.
But I am Susan. Sharon and I met at camp, so we decided to switch places. She bit off her fingernails and I cut her hair, and now she's out in California with Dad, swimming and riding my horse and having a keen time, and I'm stuck here with these lousy music lessons and I hate them.
Susan
looks at Mother.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mother. But I wanted to see you, and I miss not having a mother.
Mother's look softens as she smiles gently.
I love you very much. And I wondered if you could love me as me and not as Sharon. Please?
Oh, Susan.
Mother stands up from the table, walking over to Susan. She hugs her tight.
My darling, why didn't you let me know?
Why didn't you tell?
I couldn't help it. I mean, I wanted to be near you and to know what it was like to have a mother and everything.
Mother hugs her again. Grandmother gets up and walks over as well, hugging and kissing Susan happily.
Susan, darling. Let me look at her. She's exactly...
I know, I can't believe it.
Oh, baby, hey, only...
Grandfather beckons Grandmother to follow, walking out of the room.
You know, we talked about it. Louise. We had it, Cap, and we decided it would be the
best
thing.
What is it, Charles?
He closes the dining room door, walking out into the foyer with Grandmother.
What is it?
I just thought they ought to be alone for a minute, that's all.
What's that? No,
she's Margaret's child. She hasn't seen her since she was 1 year old.
I'm her grandmother. I have a right to...
Louise, for once I'm putting my foot down. Let them alone.
Grandfather holds Grandmother, glaring.
I tried, Mother. Honestly, I have. But I just don't understand.
Well, darling, it doesn't mean that your father and I didn't love each other. But sometimes, even when people think a lot about each other, they sometimes just don't get on together.
So you're going to have to switch us back again, huh?
Well, legally, you belong to your father, and... Sharon belongs to me.
His and hers. Makes me feel like a bathroom towel. It's lousy, isn't it?
But don't worry. We'll find a way.
6 months split. That's how it's going to end up.
What?
Oh, a lot of kids in camp have that problem, too. 6 months with one parent, 6 months with the other. Like a yo-yo.
Oh, I don't like it any more than you do, darling.
But don't worry. I'm not going to lose you now.
Mother reaches out and hugs Susan tight. Later.
Oh, but Tina, would you put this in your case?
Yes, ma'am.
May I come in?
Of course, Dad.
Well, I have you and Susan on the noon plane.
Well, that doesn't give us very much time.
Well, best I can do on short notice.
Well, thank you.
Traffic's pretty heavy these days. Are you wearing that dress on the trip, are you?
Well, what's wrong with it?
Oh, it's very nice, very nice. Give my best to Mitch when you see him, will you? I wonder what kind of a wife he has now.
Oh, who said he's married?
Well, a vital romantic fella like Mitch, it's a cinch he'd find himself a nice young wife.
Well, I certainly hope that she likes to sleep in the great outdoors and scale fish.
Yeah, now, no sour grapes now.
Oh, Bettina, would you see if you can find my blue skirt?
Yes, ma'am.
You know, Margaret, I've got to hand it to you for one thing. I've got to give you credit. It certainly shows strength of character not to go with the new fashion trends in clothes.
All right, Dad. Now, what are you trying to get at?
Oh, no, I'm just saying that. And you take your hairstyle for
it. Well, what's wrong with my hair?
Oh, no, well, that's what I mean. Women nowadays are wearing their hair a little differently, that's all. You know, a little fuller, maybe.
All right, Dad. Are you looking for a fight?
No, with my favorite daughter not on your life now. Now, don't get me wrong. My goodness. Well, you know, you are what you are. God love you, I wouldn't want to change you for the world, not for the world.
Well, who said anything about changing?
That's what I say. Stay the way you are.
Well, I certainly intend to.
A nice, reliable, settled, comfortable woman who accepts the coming of age with grace and dignity.
Why, that's the most horrible thing that anybody could possibly say.
There you are, you see. You're flying off the handle. And all I came in here for was to kiss you goodbye and wish you good luck. Goodbye, daughter, huh?
Goodbye.
Give my regards to Mitch, huh? You know, come to think of it, that dress seems just perfect for you.
Mother looks down at her dress, touching the scarf around her neck, worried. Outside in the hallway, Grandfather walks over to Susan, who's hiding behind a wall. He quickly winks at her and walks away.
Hi, Mother. I'm all packed. What time do we go?
On the noon plane. And we haven't got very much time. Have you got everything in that we wanted for Sharon?
Mm-hmm.
Mother looks at her shoes.
How'd you like to stop over in New York for a few days?
Oh, yeah. Why?
Well, I thought that we might do some shopping before we head west.
Out on the ranch, as horses run about, Hecky walks over carrying a saddle and reins.
Hey, we got a nice little calf there, Mitch.
He puts the saddle in the jeep as Father sits behind the wheel looking at the horses. Wiping his face, Hecky stares at Father.
What's eating you? You ever get that funny feeling like something's gonna happen? Like a storm brewing?
Hecky looks up at the sky.
No, come on.
Hecky jumps into the jeep. Father turns the ignition and drives off. Meanwhile, a yellow cab pulls up into the driveway.
Bambina!
Susan jumps out of the cab.
Bambina, we're here! Sharon!
Mother stops near the cab, looking at the house.
Bambina! We're here!
Susan turns to look for Mother when the door opens and Verbena rushes out. The two hug tight. Verbena runs to Mother.
Take him inside. Hello, darling.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine, but oh, we've missed you. I'm so glad.
Verbena and Susan walk off as Mother pays the cab driver. Mother rushes in after them as they wait by the front door. The three women walk in.
Oh, it was just wonderful.
Oh,
Sharon jumps down the stairs.
I'm so glad you came.
Oh, yeah,
wonderful. What'd you do to yourself?
Do you like it?
Oh, I love it.
Oh, darling.
Mother and Sharon hug as Verbena and Susan look on.
Finally, both of you together at last. What do you think of each other?
Fine. We love each other. Hi, Sue. Hi.
Oh, and just look at you. That short hair.
I cut it, Mother.
You know I like it.
Oh, and I love yours, Mother.
Where's your father?
Oh, he's out somewhere on a horse. Are we in time?
Time?
Didn't you tell her?
Susan shakes her head side to side, eyes wide.
Tell me what?
Well?
Sharon looks down.
Dad's getting married.
Mother is taken aback. She looks away lost in thought, quickly collecting herself.
When is all this taking place?
Saturday, supposedly.
Mother absently fidgets with her bag as she walks away.
She just sort of infiltrated, Mother. And before you know it, Dad was hooked.
If you ask me, Mr. Evers is slipping into his second childhood.
Oh, your father is old enough to know what he's doing. Shall we go upstairs and get unpacked? I'm just dying to get into a hot shower after that long time.
They run up the stairs together. Father pulls the vehicle up in front of the house, and Hecky gets out and begins to unload.
Want a beer?
Yeah, I'll be in a minute.
Father walks into the house.
You know I don't say a word, not a single word. But the things that Vicky woman has been up to will really... Oh, well...
Suddenly, Father walks into the kitchen.
Hi, Dad.
Oh, well, hi. Look who's talking to me.
Why shouldn't I talk to you?
Oh, come on. I can get married anytime I want to. You got that?
Yeah.
Now, don't stand there and pretend you don't know what I'm talking about after you've been walking around the house like a mummy for 2 days. Yes, you, me, 2 days, nothing.
Oh.
Remember?
Oh, yeah, you and... I guess I have been acting sort of sulky lately.
Sulky? Well, that's the understatement of the year. Sulky, you haven't been sulky. You've been plain impossible. You've been monstrous. Now, pouting is childish. You're much too old for that. And not speaking to someone because you're mad at them is just plain,
feminine.
Yes, feminine. And she's absolutely right. And it's the worst part of being feminine, too.
The doorbell's ringing.
Yeah, well. Oh, listen now. That's the minister and Miss Robinson, and you're to be polite to them, you understand?
Susan nods, and Father hands her the bottle, walking away. Before turning back to grab the bottle, he puts it down on the kitchen counter and walks off. Susan quickly rushes behind him. Father hurries through the living room and opens the front door.
Hello.
Mitchell, I want you to meet Dr. Mosby. Dr. Mosby, Mitchell Evers, the groom.
How do you do, sir?
Oh, how beautiful. Isn't this lovely, so masculine? Mitch, it needs a woman's touch.
Sure.
There's that angelic creature again.
Hello, uh-oh. Susan. How are you today?
Fine, thank you.
This is the Reverend Mosby, dear. He's going to conduct the marriage ceremony.
How do you do?
How do you do, dear?
Listen, I gotta go up and change. Will you excuse me for just a minute, please?
Oh, certainly.
Father runs over to the stairs.
Hey, how'd you like to be hostess for a few minutes, huh?
Be polite.
Father hurries up the stairs as Susan looks back at their guests. A fake smile spreads across her face. Father walks into his room, his hat in his mouth as he takes off his jacket. Throwing it on a chair with his hat, he sits down and starts to pull his boots off, whistling, as Sharon walked past his door.
Hi, Dad.
Hi,
hon. There's some people downstairs, did you know?
Yeah, I know.
He stops suddenly, turning back to look over his shoulder, puzzled. Inside the bathroom, Mother hangs towels on the shower railing and ties up her robe. She takes her shower cap off, walking over to the sink. She looks at herself in the mirror, fixing her hair. She walks over to the shower again, closing the door as she looks around, and then walks to the door in the far end, walking out and closing it behind her. Just then, Father walks into the bathroom in his robe. He walks to the shower and opens the door, turning the tap around. He walks over to the sink and opens the tap, grabbing his toothbrush off the counter. Suddenly, he looks up over his shoulder and walks over to the shower door. On the handle hangs a piece of Mother's underwear. He pulls it off the handle, looking at it, puzzled. Meanwhile, Mother sits on Susan's bed, filing her nails, as Sharon lies beside her.
Your grandfather sends his love.
Susan runs in, peering through the door.
She's downstairs. Do you want to see her?
Who, Vicky?
No, thanks. I've seen her.
Well, I haven't.
Mother rushes after Susan, leaving Sharon behind. Meanwhile, Father paces the bathroom, confusedly staring at the garment. He walks into Susan's room.
Hey, Susie,
Sharon looks up at him.
Do you want something, Daddy?
Father looks at the piece of garment as he hides it behind the wall.
Oh, honey, never mind.
Father backs up into the bathroom, closing the door. He turns away as he stares at the garment, still confused. Later, Father stands before the guests.
My wedding, you've had it all.
Why don't you make some drinks, Vicky?
Oh, we were waiting for you.
But silly, let's have a little something. I had no...
Well, anything you have.
Good.
The usual, darling.
Reverend, I don't suppose you indulge.
Oh, well, perhaps a little something by way of a nuptial toast.
Good.
Bourbon. Double on the rocks.
Father nods, turning to walk to the bar.
Sir.
Vicky, I know this is your wedding, but think how an outdoor ceremony will look in the newspapers.
I'm inclined to agree with you, Mrs. Robinson. You know, the Marco Denisons had their wedding under a striped awning tent.
Oh.
Last month it was, and the atmosphere was ideally apropos. There in God's natural setting under the tree.
Father walks over holding a tray with glasses. Father's eyes widen as he looks out. In the backyard are Susan and Mother running away quickly. Mother turns to look back as Susan drags her along. Father peers over Dr. Mosby's shoulder, leaning forward to look carefully as Susan and Mother run and hide behind a tree.
Thank you.
Susan and Mother peer from behind the tree slowly, grinning. Mother waves at him with a big smile. As Susan giggles, Father trips over a table and falls as Edna and the others rush to help him.
Up the daisy, darling. Up the daisy. Up the daisy. Up the daisy. Oh, darling.
Edna, listen, I think your idea about having the wedding outside is wonderful.
Father quickly turns them around, walking them back out of the house while looking over his shoulder. Father walks Dr. Mosby and the women out to the pool. Mother and Susan stand behind a pillar near the house, looking at them. As the guests discuss, Father looks over to see Mother and Susan again. They quickly duck behind the pillar. He walks backwards, trying to get a better look. He trips over the cushions and pool chairs, crashing into the water. Dr. Mosby leans in to help Father. He pulls off Father's jacket and then reaches over to help again.
Here, give me a hand, quick.
Dr. Mosby grabs Father's hands, and he climbs out.
Yes, I'm all right. I'll be back in just a minute.
Father stumbles away, confused and falling all over himself. Mother and Susan slowly back up into the house, looking worried. Father stomps up the cobbled path to the house, grumbling under his breath and soaking wet. He looks back. Mother and Susan hide behind curtains, peering out to look at him. Father turns and walks to the house again. Inside, Susan starts to walk back away, and so does Mother, as they walk over to the couches and Father walks in. He stops as soon as he sees Mother, who leans against the couch and fiddles with the sleeve of her robe.
Mitch.
Maggie. How are you?
Oh, fine, thanks. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. Gee, you look... Look, I got a flock
now,
of people out there. Will you tell me
just let me explain.
All you're doing
will
here
you keep quiet for a minute, I'll tell you. If you just keep quiet a minute, I'll tell you.
You got to turn up now. Well, what are you doing here?
If you just stop screaming at her, she'll explain, Dad.
Father looks over to see Susan and Sharon standing side by side.
Surprise!
That's what I was trying to tell you.
Both of them?
He looks from one to the other, eyes widening. He walks over to the girls as they bite their lips, grinning at him. Father kneels down in front of Sharon and looks over at Susan. Tears well up in his eyes as he smiles.
Is the two of them together?
Maggie, how'd it happen?
We met at camp, and then the whole thing just sort of came out.
Mother walks over to Susan.
They switched places on us.
They what?
Sue came to Boston to be with me.
Mother lovingly pulls Susan into a hug.
You mean this is Sharon?
Uh-huh.
I had Sharon all this time?
Father stares at Sharon in front of him.
You're Sharon.
Sharon nods.
I wanted to know what you were like, and Susan wanted to meet Mother.
Mother and Susan smile at each other.
You are Sharon.
Father smiles, holding Sharon by the shoulders. He pulls her close, hugging her tight.
Only a tiny little baby.
You're not mad, are you, Daddy?
No, sweetheart. I just can't believe it's you, that's all.
He looks up at Sharon, teary-eyed.
Oh, my gosh, that trouble I had burping you.
Oh, Daddy, really?
No, I mean it. I spent most of my nights walking the floor up and down with you. 2 o'clock feedings.
And where was I?
Well, it was half and half. Oh, you used up more diapers than any 10 kids.
Daddy, diapers.
Yes, diapers. Look at you now.
He holds her back, looking at her up and down.
Quite grown up.
Father nods, smiling. Sharon looks over at Mother and Susan as Susan nods at her.
Quite without a father.
Oh, honey.
And I'm quite without a mother.
Shh. Now, girls, we'll discuss this later on. I want to talk to your father now.
Come on, Sharon, they want me alone.
Susan leaves Mother and walks off. Sharon looks at Father. He pulls her close to kiss her on the cheek.
Daddy, please don't marry that woman.
Mother looks at Sharon.
All right, Sharon. Run along.
Sharon looks at Mother and runs off as Father watches. The two girls walk off together into the backyard. Father stands up.
Will you look at that?
He walks a little, watching them go.
I can't believe it. You know, the last time I saw them together, they were that big, and you had them in that thing, and you were pushing them through the park. Oh, what a time for you to show up, just when I'm going to get married.
I didn't know, Mitch. Honest, Sharon told me when I got here.
That girl is my fiancée.
I know. I saw
her. He smiles, thinking fondly, as Mother smiles, too. Suddenly, he stops, turning to face Mother.
I think she's adorable.
Oh, sure you do. Except for what?
I think she's a perfect dream. Of course, her eyes are a little too close together, if you don't mind that.
Maggie, don't try those old worn-out tricks on me. They don't work anymore. Now, will you just go on upstairs and put on something decent?
Oh, I'm perfectly decent.
Oh, sure, running around in my bathrobe. Well, that looks great. She's liable to come in here and see you in that thing. It looks like we just...
Like we what?
You just go on upstairs and put on some clothes, that's all.
Don't you use that tone of voice with me. We're not married anymore, remember?
But this is my house, and you're not going to go running around in it dressed up in that
thing. I'll do anything that I darn well please, and don't start ordering me around.
Maggie, I'm warning you for the last time. Now go on upstairs and put on some clothes.
Now don't try force on me. I lammed you once. And I can do it.
Mother holds up a fist.
Now stand back.
Maggie.
Father holds
Maggie.
Up a palm, don't, leaning back.
Don't start that, will you? Come on.
He reaches around and grabs her by the shoulder. Mother elbows Father in the stomach. She punches him in the face angrily, immediately regretting it.
You have to do that.
Oh, Mitch, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it.
Why do you have to get so physical?
Father turns and walks towards the couch, holding his eye.
I talk to you about anything. You always find a belt in me with something. That's the most vicious thing I ever heard.
Oh, Mitch, now it can't be that bad. Come on.
It is too that bad. It hurts.
Let me see it. Come on now.
Just leave it alone. You've done enough.
Now, come on, help me a little bit. Now, open up. Let me see.
That's it. Don't. Just a little bit.
He falls back on the couch in pain, and she comes and sits next to him. Just then.
Get a good look at it. Come on.
I want a doctor to look at it, not you.
Oh, don't be ridiculous. You're worse than the twins.
Mr. Evers.
Dr. Mosby walks in.
Mr. Evers, the ladies are one.
He sees them. He turns to walk out. Father jumps up from the couch, pushing Mother off. Dr. Mosby stops and turns to look at them.
Oh, wait just a minute, sir. There's nothing wrong here.
Father covers Mother's legs with the robe before straightening up.
It's not anything like you would think. It's very easy to explain. You see, sir, this is my wife.
Father gestures towards her, holding Dr. Mosby's arm.
How do you do, madam? Reverend Mosby.
How do you do?
Mother walks over to shake his hand.
Then what about...
Oh, no, ex-wife. She came out here all of a sudden, very unexpectedly, to discuss some little mix-up that we had about the children. And while we were discussing it, I merely suggested that she go upstairs and put on something decent, because you... What am I telling you all this for? It's none of your darn business.
Well, don't snap at him so. He didn't ask for an explanation. You're the one who's babbling on as if there were something to hide. Dr. Mosby isn't at all shocked at seeing me like this,
well,
are you?
Of course he's shocked. What do you expect? He walks in here and you're running around in that get-up, climbing
all over
the couch.
On the contrary, Mr. Evers, I'm not at all shocked. I see nothing wrong with your wife's attire.
Ex-wife.
She's very beautiful, in fact.
Oh, you see, I knew I liked you.
Also, Mr. Evers, you'll find that I'm not without a sense of humor. I find this situation fraught with humor. Quite out of the everyday, as we say.
Could you excuse us for just a moment, Dr. Morgan?
Father grabs mother by the arm, pulling her away.
For once in your life, try to be a little understanding, please. I've got to go outside there in a minute and explain why you're here. No, that's not going to be easy.
And I suppose they'd want to meet me.
Well, I suppose that's natural. Besides, I want to keep this thing honest and above board.
Very well, then. I just run upstairs and slip into something more comfortable.
She smiles at him, pulling her collar up.
Very funny.
Walking up the stairs, she stops and turns.
Oh, Dr. Mosby, don't you run away now.
I'll be here.
I'll be back in just a few minutes.
I look forward to that. A delightful woman, Mr. Evers. However, did you let her slip away from you? She's simply delightful.
Father grins and walks away, leaving a confused Dr. Mosby behind. Later.
Well, why couldn't she have checked into a hotel?
I told you I didn't invite her.
I knew something would go wrong.
No, nothing has gone wrong.
Nothing's gone wrong.
She'd already unpacked.
She's going to spend the night. Mitch, I won't have that.
Now, wait a minute. You're reading implications into...
Mr. Mosby holds up his glass, waggling his eyebrows as he grins. Father walks over to him and sits down on the couch beside him.
Wouldn't you like to go out and look at the garden or
no,
something?
No, indeed. I'm enjoying this immensely.
You are?
Very interesting situation. Quite out of the everyday, you know.
Yes, it sure is. Edna, listen, I guarantee you by tomorrow morning...
Mitch, I will not have her spending the night in this house. You get rid of her, do you hear me?
Vicky, will you try to be a little understanding? Now, she is not that kind of a woman.
She's a woman. That's enough.
Edna, she's not what you think at all. Now, in the first place, she's from Boston. She's older. She's more mature.
Oh, yes,
she's had two children already. She's really the you know, motherly type. Mm-hmm. Vicky, I swear to you, on a stack of Bibles, you've got nothing to...
Hello, everybody. Sorry to keep you waiting. I'm Margaret McKendrick.
Hello, hello, hello.
Oh, hello again. And this must be Vicky. Oh, you are adorable. I'd know you anywhere from Mitch's description.
Mother walks up to Edna, holding out her hand.
I'm Mrs. Robinson.
Mother looks over at Father apologetically.
Sorry, Mitch.
It could happen to anybody.
Dr. Mosby walks over, chuckling.
Vicky?
Mother walks to Ms. Robinson, smiling.
Oh, you are divine. Oh, Mitch, she's simply breathtaking.
I was just thinking the same thing about you, dear.
At my age.
Ms. Robinson nods as Mother smiles at her.
Oh, you are a sweet child.
Ms. Robinson smiles, drops.
Mitch described you somewhat differently.
He certainly did.
Dr. Mosby stops laughing as everyone turns to look at him.
Excuse me.
Of course, you know what husbands think about ex-wives. Like an old, comfortable, worn-out shoe cast in the closet. Well, off with the old and on with the new, eh? I must say, you are young.
Isn't that lucky for Mitch?
Yes. I was so thrilled when I heard that you were going to take the plunge with old Mitch.
Maggie,
now, we really must celebrate this occasion. Mitch, darling, be a good boy and run along and open up some champagne. Now, tell me all about yourself. We really must get to be very good friends.
No! I don't want you to get to be very good friends. Now, that's not the idea.
We have to be running anyway.
Well, perhaps you'd better. We could...
All good things have to come to an end, you know.
Oh, dear. What a pity, just as we were getting to know each other.
So nice to have met you.
I know you won't be coming to the wedding, but you'll see it in the society columns if you look.
I never read them.
Oh, really?
What
a shame.
You'll miss
so much.
Everyone walks out. Mother walks Edna to the car, followed by Ms. Robinson and Father and Dr. Mosby behind them.
Yes, Vicky and I have a million things to do. You know, fittings and odds and ends to buy.
We'll just charge it to good old Mitch. He's loaded.
Oh, I didn't really know.
Oh, didn't you? Well, goodbye. It was so nice to have met you. Goodbye, Vicky, darling. You're just as cute as you can be. Bye.
Ms. Robinson drives off as father waves goodbye. Dr. Mosby sits in the back seat.
Delightful, charming woman. It's amazing how he ever let us slip away from him.
The two women turn back slowly, angry glares plastered on their faces. He backs up into his seat, fidgeting with his collar. Later.
You want me to lose my job? Your pa will fire me for sure.
Oh, go on, Hickey, please. We're leaving tomorrow and I've already got tonight.
The two girls look up at Hickey with pleading eyes.
No, I won't be any part of a conspiracy like this.
He'll do it, or else he'll cook his own meals for the next month.
As Verbena glares at Hickey, the two girls giggle happily.
A gypsy?
Meanwhile, Father leans in front of the mirror, closely examining his purple eye. Flinching in pain as he prods at it, he straightens up, staring at himself grumpily. Turning away, he throws on his jacket as he walks out of his room. Verbena is in the dining room, organizing the table linen into a drawer, when the father walks in. He looks at the table and turns to her.
Hey, what happened to dinner?
Oh, dinner's being served on the patio tonight.
Oh, whose idea is that?
Oh, it's none of mine, never mind. I don't say a word. Yeah, people that talk too much always talk too much, so I just don't say anything. I mind my own business.
Father walks out as Verbena continues to mumble.
Hey, Verbena, what the heck's all this? What?
Don't ask questions, Daddy. Go sit down. You want to ruin everything?
Ruin what? You going to tell fortunes?
Go and sit down. Dinner's all ready to serve.
Verbena storms back into the kitchen as Father looks about. The patio has drapes hanging on one side, like curtains, with lamps pointed at it. He looks about as he walks in, and a table has been set in the middle. He walks over to the table, and on it are two name cards that read Daddy and Mother. He picks up his name card, looking at it closely, smiling. He turns, and his smile drops. Mother walks down the stairs in a beautiful white dress.
Well, what's all this?
I don't know. Don't ask me. I just got here. It's just my house. Nobody ever tells me anything about what's going on.
And the kids are... dinner on the patio. Was this your idea, Mitch?
No, it was not my idea.
She gasps at his eye.
What are you looking at?
Oh, Mitch, that eye, it just looks dreadful. Now, really, you must put something on it.
Don't you concern yourself.
What did you do? Step on a rake?
No. Actually, a very well-bred, ladylike Bostonian matron pinned it on me, if you want the Associated Press release on it.
Anybody I know?
Verbena walks over with plates.
Verbena.
Sort of special for the night. I think you'll like it.
Smells delicious.
Now, what do you call that?
Veal Parmesan.
Veal? I hate that kind of stuff. She knows that.
Hickey walks out dressed like a gypsy and playing the violin. He pulls Hecky's arm off the violin, stopping him.
Doing?
Mitch, please, I may go out and kill myself.
Hickey, come on, it's time.
Excuse me, Mitch. All right.
Father giggles uncontrollable as Hickey walks to the stage, embarrassed. On the table in front of Mother is another card. She curiously picks it up. Her eyes widen. The card reads Martinelli's Fine Italian Restaurant.
Mitch, please don't laugh at this.
What's the matter with you?
Well, don't you see?
Ladies and gentlemen, the management here has gotten together some entertainment for you. Well, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce, direct from Boston, playing Beethoven's Fifth Symphony on the piano, Miss Sharon McKendrick.
Hickey points to the piano standing on stage, and then to the side. Sharon walks out as Father and Mother clap, smiling proudly. Sharon takes a bow and then walks over to the piano. She sits down, as Mother and Father look on eagerly. Sharon wiggles her fingers, smiling back at them before turning back to the piano. She starts to play. She nods in concentration as she plays. Susan runs out just then, holding a guitar. She looks around, confused. She starts to play the same tune on her guitar, vigorously strumming. Sharon frowns, playing the keys harder. Susan walks closer, playing harder.
Hey, what's all this noise? Would you kindly get off the stage? I'm in the middle of a concert.
A concert? Honey, you're gonna put the paying customers to sleep with all this jazz. You gotta get the new sound. Come on now, let's compromise. You give a little, I'll give a little. Come on, let's get together.
Sharon smiles at Susan and begins to play. Susan also grins happily and strums along, bobbing up and down. Hickey sits on the side of the stage, strumming his own guitar.
Be a crazy team.
Verbena takes over on the piano as Sharon joins her sister in singing. Two end with a pose as mother and father applaud. The girls curtsy, grinning.
Marvelous. Come on down, have dinner.
Yeah, come on. We got spaghetti, all kinds of glop.
Oh, no, it's all right, thank you. We've already had dinner in the kitchen, haven't we? Yes. You go ahead and enjoy yourselves. We're going to bed. Good night, Mom. Good night, Dad.
Sharon waves and runs off.
Good night, Mom. Have fun.
Susan winks at her mother before running off.
Good night,
girls. Night, kids. How about those two little monkeys, huh? Imagine them putting together a thing like that.
Oh, they put much more than that together, Mitch.
What do you mean?
Well, don't you understand? The drippy candles, the violin music, the veal parmigiana.
Sharon quietly slips a record in the player before running out.
Don't you remember? Oh. Our first date. They tried to recreate it.
As father looks at the card, smiling softly, mother looks at him. They look up as the music starts to play. Mother looks at father, who looks back at her. Mother shrugs. She smiles at him.
Nothing.
She looks down at her food and then straightens herself in the chair.
Well, what are we going to do about them? Now that they've met, we certainly can't keep them apart.
Well, we sure can't do that, can we?
Father shakes his head.
Well, I guess the only logical thing we can do is try to share them. I mean, you could take them both for 6 months, and then I could have them for the rest of the year.
The girls watch through the railings.
That way, at least they'd be together. I think that's the best way, don't you?
Yes, I guess it is. 6 month split. That's what Susan calls it.
Yeah. That's about all we can do.
You know, Mitch, all of a sudden, I'm very depressed.
Maggie, it would have been worse if we'd stayed together. You know that. All the fighting and squabbling. You with that Irish temper of yours.
You were just as difficult and hard to get along with.
Oh, sure, I know. I admit it. It was a mistake in the beginning.
Was it, Mitch?
Well, it's pretty obvious, isn't it?
You know, you haven't changed much. Years have been good to you, Mitch.
Yeah.
Well, aren't you going to return the compliment?
Oh, yeah. You know, as a matter of fact, Maggie, you look pretty good.
Well, don't stumble over the words. You know, you don't have to say them.
No, really, I mean it.
Mother turns away in a huff.
What'd you do to yourself anyway?
Do to myself?
Mother looks at him, appalled.
16 plastic surgeons, a major reconstruction job on my face, just so that I could be presentable.
Oh, Maggie.
Well, who do you think I am? Some troll who crawled out of the woods to come calling on you.
She gets up to storm off.
I admit I'm not as young as that simpering, baby-faced, platinum doll who's got her hooks in you.
Now, don't get started on Vicky, will
you? Oh, that's right. Don't say anything about that dear, sweet, precious Vicky, that plots-faced child bride and her electric hip.
Father stands up and mother walks away in a huff. She stops the stairs and turns back slowly, leaning against the railing. She shrugs.
I'm sorry, Mitch.
It always happens, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, won't happen anymore. I'm leaving in the morning with Sharon.
Sharon and Susan move away from the rails sadly.
I really do mean this, Mitch. I wish you the best of everything with Vicky.
She turns away, walking up the stairs. Father also turns away, looking at his feet. Later, the girls are in their pajamas, sitting on their bed.
Holy smokes. What a lousy mess they made of that. All our plans. And Mother and I will be leaving tomorrow. Well, don't give up. We've got all night to think of something. Like what?
Sharon lies down on her pillow as Susan shrugs.
Oh, I don't know.
Susan also lies down, turning off the lamp on her bedside table.
But something.
She frowns, determined. The next day, Verbena walks up the stairs as Mother waits.
Sharon, taxi's waiting.
I'm coming.
Susan, aren't you coming down to say goodbye to me?
Be right here, Mother.
Mother grabs her coat and bags as Father walks into the room. She turns towards the door when she sees Father and stops. He walks over to her as she looks at him. Turning away, she walks to put her bags down on a chair by the staircase as he stands watching her with his hands in his pockets.
Sharon! Susan!
I'll send Susan back for Christmas.
I'll see that Sharon comes out here for Easter.
Well, I suppose that's the best way.
She smiles at him, fixing her gloves as the girls walk down the stairs.
I suppose so.
She quickly looks away as the girls come down wearing identical t-shirts and jeans. Mother looks angry as Father walks over beside her. Mother looks from one girl to the other.
What are you doing in those clothes? Sharon, what is this?
Well, I'll tell you. We've thought it over and we've come to a decision.
Yep, we decided we were getting gypped.
Yeah, gypped.
Now, what do you mean, gypped?
Well, we decided that we wanted to spend our camp out together. So whichever one of us is Sharon, and we won't tell. Whichever one of us is Sharon, we're not going to Boston.
Huh. Now, don't get smart with me, girls. Sharon, go right upstairs and put your suit on now. Go on.
Are you sure she's Sharon?
Of course she is.
Mother looks at them back and forth, again, a little confused.
Aren't you?
Tough to tell, ain't it? Ain't it?
Isn't it? Now stop all of this foolishness. We're going to miss the plane.
That's the whole idea.
Mitch, do something.
Susan, go.
Yes, Daddy? Yes, Daddy?
That's not funny.
That's not funny. That's not funny.
Oh, this one is Susan, the smart aleck here.
Are you sure?
Of course. I'm sure. I know my own daughter, don't I?
You're not really sure, are you, Daddy?
Father looks down at Susan, confused. He looks at Sharon and then back at Susan.
You know I'm not?
Sharon nods.
I think they're ready to listen. Right. Here's the deal. We leave for the camp out immediately. All of us. And when you bring us back on Friday, then we'll tell you who's Sharon and who's Susan. That's the deal. Take it. Or leave it.
Mother and Father look down, defeated. They look at each other and shrug. Later, Hecky walks out to the truck with sleeping bags on his shoulder.
What am I supposed to do for 3 days while you're off on some crazy trip into the woods? Stay home and knit?
It's not my fault. Now, I can't tell them apart. What do you want me to do?
Give them a good spanking and make them tell.
Oh, you don't spank 13-year-olds, especially for something like this.
Is she coming along?
That's part of the deal. Don't...
Mitch, I will not have it. Good morning, Vicky. I will not sit here while you're off prowling through the woods with her. You're absolutely right.
Maggie, will you keep out of this, please?
Oh, Mitch, you just can't go off and leave your fiancé alone for 3 whole days. What on earth would people say?
Sure. All right, group activity leader, what do you suggest, huh?
I think that you ought to come along with us.
Fine.
Well, maybe I just will. It's the only decent thing to do.
Sure.
Of course, we're going to have to get you another outfit, but I know where Mitch keeps his old shirts, and we can find you some boots very quickly.
Mother hurries Ms. Robinson to the house. Hecky walks over to throw more things in the truck.
Are they all coming with us?
Father nods.
Yep.
Hecky, here's some more stuff.
All right, keep your shirt on, girl.
Hi, Dad.
All right, here.
Hecky helps the girls climb up the back, taking their stuff. Mother and Miss Robinson walk out of the house.
Just fasten the belt a little bit tighter.
Yes. Where does she think she's going?
I think it looks...
Oh, she's going to come along, honey.
Are you kidding?
No.
And besides, it's waterproof.
Peachy.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Oh, here we are, Mitch, all ready to go.
But she can't come along.
The girls look annoyed.
Now, girls, don't be rude. We decided that your father couldn't possibly leave Vicky alone for 3 whole days.
Well, let's get the show on the road, huh?
You first, Vicky. You'll want to sit beside Mitch, won't you?
If you don't mind.
My pleasure. You know, the way things have worked out, I think you and Vicky ought to be up there alone.
What are you saying?
Mother waves for the girls to be quiet.
Maggie, in or out? Come on, will you?
If you're not going, I...
No, 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 Vicky, don't worry your pretty little head about me. I'll just lie around the lake and soak up plenty of sun. Besides, it'll give you a chance to get to know the girls. You know, you're going to have them for 6 months out of the year. Bye, Vicky. Watch out for snakes.
Thanks a lot.
Bye, girls. Have a good time.
As they drive off, Mother stands in the driveway, waving goodbye. The girls wave back sadly. Out in the woods, the group treks along rocky paths. Father leads the way, whistling happily, closely followed by Miss Robinson and then the girls. Hecky brings along two mules, loaded with their bags, right at the back.
Oh. All right?
Oh, I'm just dandy. Some fun.
What's the matter?
Vicky's not used to this, honey. We'll rest a minute, huh?
Oh.
Lake's not far now, just about another hour is all.
The girls kneel down by a rock, whispering to each other. They nod in agreement and get up.
Gee, is it hot?
What of it?
Well, I just thought maybe you'd like some of my water.
Ms. Robinson takes it reluctantly, looking up at the girl.
Thanks a lot.
As she goes to take a sip, a lizard stares back at her.
Oh, what is it?
It's only a little old tree lizard.
Oh.
Look, Dad, it wouldn't hurt anybody.
Get away from me. I hate them. They're just miserable.
As Father helps Ms. Robinson, the girls chuckle.
Stay here and help Vicky, understand?
Yeah, sure, I'll help her, Dad.
The girls nod and grin as Father walks ahead. Ms. Robinson glares.
Sure you'll help me. Right over a cliff you'll help me.
The girls look at her in shock.
What do we do?
She grumpily wears her backpack.
Never you mind those angelic faces. I know Vixen when I see them.
They look at each other and shrug.
Just remember this. You start anything, and I will make your lives just miserable for you later on. You get me, pets?
She walks off angrily. The group makes their way up a rocky slope. Ms. Robinson struggles to keep up as Hecky and Father walk ahead with the mules, followed by the girls. Ms. Robinson walks over to a rock and sits down under a tree as the girls look down at the ground.
See that? Cougar tracks. It's a form of mountain lion. No kidding. Lions? Oh, sure. There are hundreds of them up here. Oh, they really mess you up. They grab at your eyes. They'll eat you, you know. But there's a trick an old Indian guide showed me. See? You hit two sticks together like this, and the noise frightens them and they won't eat you.
Sharon tries.
Like that? Yeah, that'll keep them away.
Susan looks over at Ms. Robinson from the corner of her eye. The two girls get up and beat at the sticks as they walk on. They turn to look at Ms. Robinson and then make their way down the path. Later, Ms. Robinson walks through a clearing, slapping two sticks together and looking about in fear. The two girls giggle as they watch her, pointing and laughing before running off ahead. Father has put up a tent. He gets up and walks over to Ms. Robinson, who sits on a log.
Hey! Enjoying yourself?
Perfectly wonderful time. My feet are killing me.
Oh, well, why don't you get out and soak them in the lake? That'll cool them off.
You think?
Well, sure, go on.
Try anything.
Ms. Robinson stands up. The girls splash about in the lake happily as they see Ms. Robinson walk towards it. She drops her boots on the banks and sits on the ground, slowly edging towards the water. Susan stands up in the middle of the lake. The water reaches her knee. Ms. Robinson takes a step forward. Under the water, Sharon holds her breath and watches a fish swim by as Susan stands on her shoulders. As Ms. Robinson walks in the water, she shrieks as she falls in. The girls splash around giggling happily as Ms. Robinson struggles to get out of the water, her clothes fully drenched. Hecky and Father run over to help her. As night settles in, they're eating dinner around the fire.
Huh? Hecky, you really did yourself proud.
Thanks, Mitch. You sure you... Won't change your mind, miss?
I detest trout. How many times do I have to tell you?
I'll wait and eat in the morning. What are we having for breakfast?
Trout.
Ms. Robinson grumpily rubs repellent on her skin.
We don't catch fish just to throw them away. We always eat off the trail up here. That's part of the fun of it.
Only part of the fun? Swell, what do you do on Saturday nights? Go down and throw rocks in the lake?
Look, you insisted on coming. Now, the least you can do is make the best of it.
I was tricked into coming. She tricked me.
She sure did, didn't she?
The girls look at each other, grinning as they eat.
If you want to go back, Hecky can always take you down.
Oh, why, sure, miss.
I'd be happy to walk you down to the truck.
The girls look at her, beaming.
I'll stick it out, thanks. Oh, what do they think? I'm running a free blood bank? I think they like this stuff.
What do you got?
Oh, mosquito repellent.
Father takes the bottle from her and sniffs it.
It doesn't even smell like anything. For Pete's sake, that's nothing but sugar and water.
What?
Sure, that'll bring every mosquito for 50 miles around. Now, where'd you get that?
The girls bury their faces in their plates as they eat.
An old Indian scout gave it to me. Said it would keep the mosquitoes away.
Ms. Robinson glares at them. Father looks at the girls as Hecky grins.
Hecky, I think I'll have some more of that wonderful trout. Oh, yeah.
The girls hold out their plates eagerly.
I'm turning in.
Good night.
Night.
Good night, Vicky.
Good night, Vicky.
Ms. Robinson gets up to leave, grabbing her sticks. She looks down at them and then walks off, slapping the sticks together as she makes her way to the tent. Father and Hecky turn to watch her go, puzzled at her actions. They look at each other, puzzled.
Hecky!
Ms. Robinson stops by the tent as Father gets up and walks over to her.
Honey, what are you doing with the sticks?
Well, what do you think I'm doing? I'm keeping the mountain lions away.
Mountain lions?
Well, yeah, the noise...
As Father smiles down at Ms. Robinson, she looks up at him, annoyed.
The noise doesn't frighten mountain lions away.
Not a bit.
He shakes his head.
Good night.
Ms. Robinson throws the sticks down angrily and storms off into the tent as Father tries to stifle a laugh. He turns to look at the girls. He walks over to them and kneels in front of them.
Just why did you do that to Vicky?
Daddy, I swear that...
Never mind. It's a terrible thing to do. Isn't it?
Father looks over at Hecky.
Just terrible.
They look up at him guiltily.
No, I don't want any more of that from either of you. You understand?
The girls nod and Father nods back at them.
Both of you?
Yes, Daddy.
All right.
He gets up and walks off. Hecky turns to the girls and winks at them. The girls wink back, grinning. Later that night, as everyone sleeps, the two girls tiptoe over to Ms. Robinson's tent. As Hecky snores and turns over, Sharon quietly rushes to make sure he's asleep before turning to go back to the tent as Susan goes inside. Sharon also runs in. Once inside, Susan pulls out string and Sharon opens a jar of honey, pouring it on Ms. Robinson's feet. Susan lines up the whole tent with string as Ms. Robinson sleeps. The two girls quietly slip out, and Susan runs off as Sharon spreads honey all over the ground. The next morning, Hecky is still asleep outside. Inside her tent, Ms. Robinson wiggles in her sleep. At our feet are two little bear cubs, licking at the honey. She slowly wakes up, and as she sees the cubs, she shrieks, pulling her feet back. The cubs run out in fear. Ms. Robinson gets tangled in all the string as she tries to escape. The two girls look out from their tent as Hecky also wakes up, giggling at the sight. The bear cubs run off quickly. Ms. Robinson finally manages to fall out of the tent.
I hate this place. I hate this filthy, stinking, dirty place.
What are you yelling about, miss? That's just little bitty old bear cubs. They wouldn't hurt a fly.
Ms. Robinson storms over to Hecky angrily.
Shut up and get me my boots!
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, I hate this place! This may be somebody's idea of fun, but it's not mine! I hate the fish! I hate the lake! I hate the trees! I hate the filthy fox! I can't stand this place!
What the heck are you doing with the food?
As Father stands in front of Ms. Robinson, covered in shaving cream, she shoves him and he falls back into the tent.
She wants your clothes, Vicky.
Ms. Robinson angrily takes her clothes from the girls.
Thanks a heap. You, your twins, do you share everything?
Everything. Everything.
Well, you give your sister her half of this.
She slaps Sharon.
Hey, wait a minute. There's no cause for that. They didn't do anything to you.
Father glares at her.
You never know what they did to me, you big goon.
She looks around for Hecky.
Get me out of this stinking fresh air.
She storms off and Hecky follows her. The girls look at each other and grin as they watch her run off, Hecky following close behind. Back at home, Mother tosses salad in the kitchen. She runs over as Sharon runs in, hugging her.
You're back early. Now, which one are you?
Sharon.
Did you have a good time?
Oh, sensational. But, well, at least we did, but I don't think Vicky did.
Well, what happened?
Just then, Susan walks in.
Oh, hi.
How are you?
Wonderful. Hello there.
Good evening.
Have you had your dinner?
Oh, we're not hungry.
Well, then I think you better go upstairs and have your bath. You both look pretty filthy to me.
Okay. Then we'll tell you about Vicky, but all while he's there, okay?
Shh.
She sends them off and turns to look at Father, who sits on the counter. She smiles as she walks back to the salad.
So, you had a wonderful time. What happened?
Oh, now, don't you give me that with the big eyes. What happened? You knew darn well what was going to happen.
Well, what happened?
All right, you name it, and it happened. The whole thing was a shambles. Now, you happy? It's the last time I'm going to take a woman to the mountains. That's all I got to say.
Oh, where's, what's her name?
Vicky?
Yeah, Vicky.
Yeah. Well, she took off like a pelican, and she's probably at Park Avenue and 57th Street by now. And good luck to her.
Mother opens the pot on the stove and adds salt to it as she grins to herself. She looks over to the door. Sharon and Susan walk in, looking guilty.
Well?
Father looks over at them.
We've been talking, and we feel that we owe you an apology. Well, I mean, we feel sort of guilty about what we did to Vicky.
What did you do to her?
Well, I guess you could say we submarined her.
Father looks away, trying to hide his smile.
Well, it's none of our business who you want to marry, and we ruined it for you.
Well, it's done with now, so we won't talk about it anymore.
We're really sorry, Dad. Will you forgive us?
I'll go on to bed, you monsters.
He smiles. Sharon turns and walks out as Susan smiles and then follows her sister. Father watches them walk away and then looks at Mother.
What are you going to do? Huh?
Mother walks over to the stove. Mother looks up at Father.
Do you want something to eat?
Well, you sure got enough?
Oh, sure. I cooked enough for you and Susan for dinner tomorrow night. Remember, Sharon and I are leaving in the morning.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
Wash your hands.
Father looks down at his hands. He jumps off the counter and walks to the sink, humming a tune. Behind him, Mother climbs on a stool, and she looks through a shelf on top. She leans in, searching for something. Father turns and sees her standing on the stool. Mother pulls out two plates as Father watches. He turns back to the sink.
Where's Verbena, anyway?
I wasn't expecting you back. It didn't make sense for her to stay around here just for me, so I gave her the night off.
Father pauses for a moment, looking around shiftily. He turns around.
So, you know, I think I'll just go upstairs and wash up. I'll be right back. I'll just be a minute.
He quickly hurries out of the kitchen. Upstairs in the bathroom, Father trims his beard hurriedly. He combs his hair and then rushes out, dressed sharp in clean clothes. The girls sit in their room filing their nails.
She had a horrid taste in clothes and absolutely no personality at all. Wow! Where are you going, to a party?
That is none of your business. Good night, ladies. Sleep tight.
The girls look at each other, grinning. They cross their fingers and hands, closing their eyes. Mother puts food in a plate and Father comes back into the kitchen. She turns to look at him as he walks over with a bottle of wine and two glasses.
Well, I thought you were just going to wash your hands.
Oh, well, I got started. I thought I might as well do a good job of it.
Shh.
What?
Do you hear music? Are those children looking at television when I told them to take a bath?
Oh, that's the hi-fi. I just snapped it on when I was coming downstairs. I thought a little music would be nice with dinner.
Father opens the bottle. He pours wine into the glasses as Mother walks over, smiling.
Also, I thought a little red wine might be good with a stew, huh?
Oh. Oh.
To the mother of my children, and the most beautiful mother any two kids ever had.
Oh, Mitch, you can be the most exasperating
man.
Oh,
what did I say? What's the matter?
Waiting until we're here in the kitchen eating stew and me and my bare feet.
I like you in your bare feet.
He smiles at her.
Well, it puts a woman at a disadvantage.
Good. Here's to your disadvantage.
Huh.
They take a sip of wine. Father puts his glass down and leans in close as Mother turns back to the stove.
Here. Sit down and eat your stew.
Ma'am?
Don't spill it now.
She hands him two plates of stew, and he takes them, putting them down on the counter. Mother reaches behind her back and tries to undo the dishcloth tied around her waist, exasperated.
Well, I've got a wet dishcloth on, and I put some knots in it. Open it for me.
She walks backwards towards Father as he sits down.
Maggie, as long as everybody's
apologizing, I think maybe I better do mine, too. I mean, about the other night. Well, I didn't mean for it to sound like that. I guess I'm not very good with the compliments, but with growing up out here with the cows.
Oh, now, don't give me that old growing up with the cows routine. You handed me that years ago.
I did
you
not.
You certainly did.
Well, it worked, didn't it? You liked it.
Mother walks around to sit across from Father, and he turns to face her. She smiles as she sits down. Father looks at her fondly.
Oh, Maggie, you're so beautiful.
Mother smiles softly.
No, I mean it. I know I don't say things like you want to hear them.
They look at each other.
But I've been thinking a lot about you and us and the way things used to be. This might sound funny to you, but you know what I miss most of all?
Mitch?
Hmm?
You've got stew all over you.
She giggles as Father looks down at his shirt.
I don't care.
Go and wash it off.
Father gets up and walks over to the sink as Mother is lost in thought. Father wipes his shirt at the sink.
What do you miss?
He turns and faces her.
Well...
He fidgets with the dishcloth.
I don't care if it does sound silly. I miss those wet stockings you used to have hanging around the bathroom. And I miss my razor being dull because you used it to shave your legs with.
Mother turns, appalled, and then turns in front again, smiling a little.
I miss the hairpins mixed up with the fish hooks in my tackle box.
He puts the dishcloth back and turns to face her.
It's no fun having a clothes closet all to myself.
Mother cries quietly, looking down at her lap.
And it's no fun swearing because you're not around to make believe you're shocked by it. Nothing's any good without you, Maggie. I miss a lot of things. I guess I just miss you.
Why did you take so long to tell me?
I don't know.
He walks over to her, slowly.
Well, because...
He puts his hands on her shoulders, standing behind her.
Because I guess I was hoping that you'd come back sometime.
Mother holds his hand. He leans in, resting his face on her head.
I've been the prized chump of the world we both have. We're going to grow up into a couple of old, lonely people if we don't do something about it.
I know.
You want that, too.
She shakes her head. Standing up, Mother looks into Father's eyes. They lean in and kiss, holding each other close.
Oh, Mitch, it's been so long, so very long.
Listen, you can slug me in the eye anytime you want.
Okay.
They hug each other tightly. Up in their room, Susan sits up on her bed. Sharon sits up as well, looking at her.
What's the matter? Oh, my gosh. I just had the craziest dream. Oh, my goodness. What is it? You and I were marching along real slow, sort of funny-like, in organdy dresses. And there was music coming from someplace. And there were flowers and people.
Susan and Sharon march down a path in pink outfits, holding yellow bouquets. Mother walks ahead in a white dress. Father walks up to Mother, dressed in a white suit. Dr. Mosby stands in front of them, putting on his glasses. Hecky and Verbena stand on the side, and Hecky sniffs as he watches. Grandfather and Grandmother are there as well. They smile at each other. Susan and Sharon look at each other, grinning. A frame appears which reads, "Bless our broken home." Two cupids fly in and shoot arrows at the text. It changes to, "Text, bless our happy home." They fly to each other and hold hands. Text, the end. Text, a Walt Disney production.